as a workers' holiday. And as we hear from NBC's Robert Kovich in Los Angeles, this year there's more.
This year, Occupy LA is joining the movement, promising a, quote, slow, city-paralyzing, carnivalesque descent into the center of the city.
Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is on her way to China for economic and strategic talks. But NBC News has confirmed that the U.S. is protecting the Chinese dissident Chen Guangchen that no doubt will come up.
And I can certainly guarantee that we will be discussing every matter, including human rights.
Many Asian stocks are closed, but the Nikkei lost ground amid a stronger yen and signs of a slowing U.S. economy. This is NBC News Radio. 1 year ago today, President Obama gave the go-ahead to a Navy SEAL team to take down Osama bin Laden. Homeland Security is still warning police to be on the lookout for retaliatory attacks. And it's been a week of wheeling and dealing in the GOP. NBC's Scott Walterman says the candidates are rallying around Mitt Romney, but not for nothing.
Rick Santorum wants to ensure the GOP's policy platform represents conservatives' interests. Newt Gingrich wants help paying off his campaign debt and repairing his reputation. Both Republicans are expected to endorse Mitt Romney and signal to their backers to fall in line behind the party's nominee. But each wants assurances that Romney will deliver for them. Romney plans to meet Santorum on Friday, and Gingrich does plan to endorse him this week. Scott Walterman, NBC News Radio, Washington.
More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
Nerlman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Nerlman. Call Bob from Accountemps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Accountemps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at Accountemps.com.
Go ahead and look. I know it's scary, but it's better now. Talking about 401k balances. This morning, Fidelity Investment says in this year's first quarter, average balances on 401k plans increased 8%. Most of that had to do with the fact the market did so well to start the year, but also more than twice as many of us increased our contributions than cut them in the first quarter, and more employers are matching contributions again. The Gulf oil spill of 2010 is still dogging BP and likely will for many years to come. This morning, BP is reporting first quarter earnings down a worse than expected 13%. It blames lower production because it had to sell off several oil fields to pay for the spill. Many investment markets in Asia and Europe are closed today because of May Day. Unfortunately for Japan, its markets opened. The Nikkei lost almost 2%. S&P futures right now down a point. NASDAQ futures down 5. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I've been riding since I was 17, flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I had taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Mike Rowe went to a real Ford dealership service department to talk to a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of, what, sales event?
Yes, we are. Big tire and brake sales event.
That means that you've got lots of different tires?
Yes, we do.
And how do I know as a consumer that Ford has the kind of tire that I need for my particular vehicle?
Well, we carry 11 major brands, so chances are what you're looking for, we have it.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
Right now, we have special rebates, offers, and discounts going on.
You're selling brakes as well?
Yes, we are.
Why should somebody bring their car here to get the brakes done?
When you bring your vehicle to a Ford dealership, you know that your vehicle's being worked on by technicians who work on Fords all day long.
Now, buy four select name brand tires and get a $100 rebate, plus a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires, and it's a big event.
It's a huge event.
And it involves brakes, too.
Yes, it does.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
$100 rebate can't be combined with other tire manufacturer rebate or offer. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have in that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now,
First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. It is 6 minutes after 6 o'clock on this May Day, May 1st, 2012, and a pleasure to be with you as we work our way through another Tuesday program. And man, do we have a doozy for you. Before we get started, though, I need to make sure that everybody understands that there was a news report yesterday that many of you read. I got a lot of emails on this, that this show is no longer going to be on the air. Well, that's how you read the story anyway. Not true. There is a new program coming to 1310 that will be on from 9 to noon. That's right. Stephanie is going to be moved to 10 p.m., there's a new show going to be on from 9 to noon. I am not moving. The show will be on from 9 to noon. The details can be found online. I'm not here to promote anything but what I do. No disrespect to Michael Patrick Shields. It's just not what I'm here for. Anyway, for those of you that were concerned that I'm going off the air, I am not. I know that's a massive disappointment to some and a cause for celebration for one or two of you. But anyway, I wanted to clarify that up front. I am going nowhere. In fact, just renewed my commitment to 1310 WDTW, and we will be here for another year. All right, with that said, we've got a really fabulous show for today and for tomorrow and the day after. We've got a full week, as we had kind of warned you yesterday. So we're going to get to it post-haste. I will tell you, because I'm just so energized today after an amazing day yesterday. By the way, was invited, and I'll get to this in a little bit, but I was invited Wednesday afternoon to a political roundtable on education with the Dearborn Federation of Teachers, which I gladly accepted, even on short notice. I say all the time, if I'm available, I'll be there. Well, I was available. No reason not to be there. Really looking forward to having that discussion. So we're going to talk about that in just a bit. But later on this morning, James Clift will be with us from the Michigan Environmental Council. We're going to talk about, I don't know that we would call it a land grab, but we need to be careful as the state is looking to purchase more land. Why they're doing it, and maybe the question should be asked is, should they be doing it or at least regulating some of that? Fran Brennan will join us from Working America. We have a unique opportunity this morning to potentially stop Senate Bill 619. And that's the cyber schools legislation. We have a rare opportunity to perhaps stop that, as a motion for reconsideration will happen later on this morning in the state legislature. We will come back to that, and we will talk about it in detail at 7:30. But I'm going to tell you right now, we have a unique chance to turn things around, and Representative Zorn is the one that you want to reach out to. In fact, I'm going to give you his phone number a little later on in this hour. We can start harassing him in a nice way this morning. Occupy Detroit will occupy first shift at 7:50. Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, will be our guest. We'll get caught up on the weekend festivities, including the Workers' Memorial Day with Windsor. It was, I understand, quite an emotional event. And Ian Robinson, a professor from the University of Michigan, will join us in a really unique story. Disturbing. I posted it to the Facebook page after the show yesterday. The state legislature, the Republicans in the state legislature, have decided that they're going to keep punishing universities when they do things that the Republicans don't like. This happens to be a First Amendment issue. It has to be a freedom of education issue. And I assure you that everybody on my staff has an opinion on this. You will have an opinion on this. Professor Robinson has an opinion on this, and we will bring that to you as well at 8:35 this morning. So we have a lot of stuff to get to, but before we do anything, let's get it started as we do every morning.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Devoted. I am devoted to all of you. I think that we should be devoted to issues and ideas and concepts and philosophies and ideologies. We should be devoted to love and to commitment and to caring and to all the things in our lives that matter. Devotion. Dedication. Oh, folks, devotion and dedication to something, that passion, that desire, is so critical to moving things from point A to point B. It's not always about inertia. It's not always about fossil fuels. Sometimes it is about, it is truly about our devotion to something. When we are devoted to it, when we are truly committed to making something happen, to committing to making change a reality, amazing things happen. You know, people recognize devotion. They do. Sometimes they don't even know how to define it. When they see it, they know it, and they go, wow, that's really unique. That's really beautiful. That's really profound. That's really engaging. That's something I'd like to do. I'd like to be that devoted to something. And in the process of doing that, amazing things can happen. Oh, really? Yes. I'm telling you right now, when you show devotion, true, sincere passion and commitment to something, a real devotion to a cause, an idea, again, an ideology, a philosophy, when you show true devotion, amazing things can happen. You don't believe me? Try it sometime and just see not how only how it'll change an issue, but honestly, how it can change your life and the lives of many around you. Absolutely. And today's first word is devotion. I'm hopelessly devoted to Jeff Radford. Okay,
crazy mood today.
I will not serenade you.
You've been singing all morning long. We heard you, by the way. Me and Anthony were sitting here, and you went into your studio, and I can't remember what the song is now, but
I can't either.
Singing on your way into the studio, you just sang right now. You're in a good mood today.
I'm actually, yeah. I got another one of those wall to wall days where I don't have 5 minutes to myself, and I don't. I literally do not have 5 minutes to myself today, and I like being busy. I like being busy. Now, on top of that, as I said, I got invited late in the afternoon tomorrow to a political roundtable on education, which I'm very excited to participate in. As you know, we are already jam-packed full with guests for the remainder of the week with maybe one opening, which means a couple things that, you know, people are coming to us. And I like the fact that, Jeff, we're beginning to really make a difference and people are really starting to see and feel the reach of what we're doing here. I don't know about you, but that makes me feel good.
Yeah, it's interesting, especially when I start sending out emails to people who I've never contacted before, who had just happened to be in a story that we're interested in doing and looking for somebody to come on and talk about. And they write back to me, well, what a weird coincidence that you asked me to be on your show, because I had just started listening and really enjoying the show. And it's like, wow, you know, that's a kind of a cool sensation, a cool feeling to get.
So anyway, I just feel like what the work that we're doing, the three of us are doing, is paying off. That's what. Yeah, and I had made a comment yesterday, and I know you're seeing it, but I've not been very nice to the conservatives on our Facebook page. And I'm just tired of because there's nothing original, nothing new. They don't bring anything to the table. And I really like our Facebook community, as I think you do too. The majority of the people that are there are very thoughtful and educated and committed to change. And so every now and then, not that I, you know, I try, you know, for the longest time, I've tried not to get involved. I let people kind of have their point of view. But, Jeff, it just kind of ruins the flow, and I think it kind of stunts what it is we're building here. And maybe I'm wrong, but it's my community, and frankly, I can do what I freaking want to do, and I don't want to put up with their bullcrap anymore. So I feel good about that as well. I feel good that I'm pushing back a little bit.
Yes. I don't know what you want me to say to that.
No, I'm just saying. I feel good. I feel good about that.
You heard feeling good about a lot of things today.
Sure, absolutely. That's that. All right, no need to get started with our sports conversation yet because it's break time almost. But things are progressing, and I feel I feel positive about that. I feel like we're moving the ball down the field, to use a sports analogy. I truly do feel that way. Feel like we're moving the ball down the field, and that's always progress is a beautiful thing, Mr. Radford, and I'm just glad to be a part of progress. I will also tell you that one of the things that really is beginning to, we talk in radio, we talk about demographics. We're starting to attract a younger demographic, and I don't know why, and I never question.
How do you know this?
Because of the email I get. That's how I know it. It's the email I get. I'm getting it from younger and younger people that are saying, you know, so-and-so turned me on, or even my dad turned me on to your show, or my aunt said, you know, you really should listen to this Tony Trupiano guy, because I think he's somebody that you would understand, relate with, which, you know, might be another way of saying I'm immature. No, that's not what they're saying. Well, maybe they are saying that.
You did eat Jell-O this morning.
I eat my Jell-O every morning. Well, sometimes it's applesauce, but yes. All right, let's take a break. Although the Tigers were rained out, we do need to come back and speak a little bit about Delmon Young. It's a shame what's happened there. And kind of a feel-good story out of the University of Michigan, a young basketball recruit that is tragic, but doing well. Great story. We got to take the break. We'll be back. This is First Shift.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
This is white supremacy, and we will fight you. And before we let you take over our city, we will burn it down.
What the f*** is the matter with you?
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Looking good so far. No incidents or accidents reported anywhere. Make sure you watch out on 275 in both directions. Your right lane will be closed between 94 and Michigan Avenue for ongoing bridge work. And remember to take your time and do the posted speeds because you do have wet pavement out there. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 71 degrees. Tonight, 53 degrees with late night showers. Tomorrow, 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. And it's currently 53 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
The 2012 Michigan Summit will celebrate and champion progressive change that is driving Michigan and will challenge all of us to make sure that all of Michigan moves forward together. Please go to themichigansummit.org right now and register to make sure you have saved yourself a seat for Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan, as keynote speakers George Powell and Barbara Arnwine promise to deliver messages that transcend petty politics and empower all of us to find a new path to prosperity together as we reach across every sector of society to uplift and engage all of our friends and colleagues. TheMichiganSummit.org should be your first stop in planning for a future that is all-inclusive. Please join Progress Michigan in energizing, engaging, and winning. Register at TheMichiganSummit.org right now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy.
We make a difference when you give your voice. What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. A pleasure to be with you on this Tuesday morning. Tigers got rained out last night. They're going to make up that game September. That's right, September 24th. They will hopefully play today. Kansas City Royals are in town. But it is what it is. It was, I guess, just too wet to play last night. And, you know, Jeff, the crazy thing about that, I'm trying to think, and maybe downtown it was raining harder than it was at my house, but I don't remember it being that rainy after 6 o'clock or so. Or was it supposed to be an afternoon game? Maybe it was the afternoon that was rained out. I don't know.
No, it was a night one.
Okay.
Yeah, that's interesting, especially because I don't really remember a lot of lightning either.
Yeah.
And normally, you know, if it's raining, oh, well, you know, get your butt out there kind of thing. But it was like a nonstop. Maybe the field was, they were more concerned about the field getting tore up. But the more important day is Wednesday. We've got to make sure that they play Wednesday, which, by the way, the promotion for Wednesday's game is Weather Day.
So Anthony has to go.
He does? Oh, yeah, because he's the weatherman.
He's the weather guy, man. We gotta make sure the weather guys are what I explain the weather promotion to me, because I don't
know. Yeah, well, that's what I had to have someone explain it to me. Here's what they're going to do. They're going to have experiments all throughout the concourse involving weather, and they're going to do weather trivia up on the scoreboard. And I'm thinking, who would be, like, looking down the calendar and, like, weather trivia, that's the game I'm going to, you know, and, like, and trying to get tickets desperately to that game. By the way, I'm going. That's my dad's birthday, so we're taking him out to the ball game.
Anthony, do you feel like you need to go? Part of your weather experience is to be a part of this promotion?
I was actually personally invited.
Were you?
No.
Oh.
Were you? Were you?
I don't know.
Dear Anthony, please come to the game. Sign, pause.
Dear First Shift Weather God.
Two free tickets.
And you want to go, we'll send you.
All right.
So you let me know, and we'll send you.
Is that on the show expense?
Sure, yeah, why not? We can make a connection there, don't you think? I mean, from a business standpoint, I can't go Wednesday because I have a million things going on. But Jeff, you said Wednesday's the important. Is it because of the weather promotion? Because it's your dad's birthday? Is that why? Or is
dad's birthday?
Okay.
The weather promotion, I finally got explained to me. It's not just, you know, random me or you saying, "Hey, I want to go to that." We tend to think that that's going to be a field day, where a lot of schools in the area will gather, you know, reward their kids for perfect attendance or great science grades or whatever and send them to the ballpark that day. So I'm looking forward to seeing lots of school buses and kids running around.
Well, and the good news is, although they do need to learn lessons not the way I want them to, the good news is Delman Young will not be playing that day because he has been suspended by Major League Baseball for 7 games for anti-Semitic behavior. Now, Jeff, I'm sure you knew this because you do live in the world of sports. He does a sports talk show on WTKA in Ann Arbor every Monday and Tuesday afternoon. But I was not aware that Delman Young had a problem until yesterday. Now, I'm not talking about his recent problem. He has apparently he has an alcohol problem, allegedly. Allegedly, he has an attitude problem. In fact, I learned yesterday after coming home and doing some brief research on this, that when he was with the Minnesota Twins, Delman Young was often asked not to show up at community events because of his drinking problem. Now, I wasn't aware. Again, you may have been, but I was not aware of this till yesterday. This young man has a problem.
I don't know anything about the alcohol. I've never heard any incidents. I've never heard even rumors of that in Minnesota. I know, obviously, he has an anger management problem. He got suspended for throwing a bat at an umpire. I've never seen that before. And that video was circulated at the time a lot, and I was just appalled by it. Now, I thought he had grown up a little bit. The alcohol problem, I have no idea about. I know the Tigers are disputing, and he's disputing the way it's being reported of what happened in New York. And I kind of think that there might be something there, because if the way things were being reported about what went down are true, I think Major League Baseball comes down with a different suspension than what they ended up giving him, which is 7 days, which I thought that was a very odd way to put it. 7 days, not 7 games.
Not 7 games, right. It's 7 days.
So they get rained out, he's fine to play in those games later on. Like yesterday's game, he can play in the September game.
Correct.
So very interesting that I thought it was kind of somewhat lenient. And that maybe, you know, adds a little credibility to the Tigers thinking that, or the Tigers' belief that it didn't go down exactly like how people made it out to be, like he's just, you know, ranting and raving and beating people up and going crazy. And
right, and I'm not saying that he did that, but even if there is I do believe that he used some anti-Semitic language. I do believe that. I do believe, and in fact, you know, it was Matt Shepard at WDFN that had commented when we were on our way home yesterday, was making a comment about Delman Young's alcohol problems in Minnesota. So that's when I got back. I did a little homework, just 5 minutes, maybe 7 minutes dedicated to this, and saw that, yeah, there was a problem. In fact, I read it. The Minneapolis Star Tribune did a story, I don't know, 4 years ago or so, Jeff, where Delman Young, one of the reporters, had written a column about, again, the Twins asking him not to show up at some events because he was showing up just absolutely schnockered and making an ass out of himself. So that's a problem. That is a problem. Now, if he does have a drinking problem, obviously Major League Baseball, the Detroit Tigers, will deal with it. We do have some precedent on the team. We don't need to get into that because it's not about him. But they, you know, listen, this is not new. But if it's a problem and it's in an invasive problem for the club, they need to deal with it. So that's all I'm going to say. And hopefully they'll play tonight. I do want to move on because I don't have time to extend this segment into the next one because we just have so much to get to today. But I do want to talk a little bit about Austin Hatch. Great article in the Free Press today, Jeff. If you haven't read it, I do recommend you do it. You, of course, know who Austin Hatch is. And I'll let you share with this audience his story because it's pretty amazing.
Tragic more than anything. And you talk about a guy who's got to deal with something I hope no one else ever has to deal with is it just is insane. I mean, it comes from a pretty wealthy background. His family is very successful. Not begrudging that at all. That his family loves flying. His dad loved flying. Had his own plane. Now, they got into a plane accident when he was, I think, 8 years old. And it killed his siblings and his mom. And I think only him and his dad survived.
And one of the dogs.
I don't know.
Yeah, that one had dogs in it too, unfortunately.
Well, all right. It's just him and his dad now. Like a very tragic losing your family like that. I can't even imagine. But the family continues to fly. Not gun shy. I mean, I don't know how long it took them to get back into a plane or whatnot, but continues to fly. And we're not just talking like this is the second flight ever. They flew a lot. So very experienced pilots. Gets into a plane again, 16 years old, already a recruit of Michigan, playing basketball, very good basketball player down, I think he's from Indiana.
Yes.
And they get into another, you know, weather-related crash where they end up flying too low and scraping something and end up crashing the plane. And he is now the only survivor. Killed his stepmom, his dad, I think the family dog survived that one, too.
One lived, one died.
Now I have no idea who's. I mean, I think he's with relatives. He was in a coma for a long time. Well, to come back out of two plane crashes like that is
absolutely
amazing.
We're up against the break. I do want to recommend people go to freep.com, read a little bit about this kid. It's a great story. A lot of reasons to be optimistic, and I'm very proud of this young man for what that's worth. Let's take a break, and we got to get to it. We'll be back on the other side.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Looking good so far. No incidents or accidents reported anywhere. Make sure you watch out on 275 in both directions. Your right lane will be closed between 94 and Michigan Avenue for ongoing bridge work. And remember to take your time and do the posted speeds because you do have wet pavement out there. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 71 degrees. Tonight, 53 degrees with late night showers. Tomorrow, 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. And it's currently 53 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining us this morning is Terry O'Neill. Terry is the current president of the National Organization for Women.
Mitt Romney has failed to condemn Rush Limbaugh's three-day vicious vitriolic attack on an ordinary young woman whose big crime was that she stepped into the public sphere to testify before Congress. He is a dangerous guy. A number of commentators have made this point. The senior Republican leadership seems to be very much afraid of
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Poor Mitt Romney. He might have the picture-perfect Hollywood looks of a president, but he keeps stumbling, bumbling, and fumbling along the campaign trail like he's in a Three Stooges slapstick comedy. He recently traveled to Elyria, Ohio, for example, for a carefully staged photo op meant to cast him as an economic heavyweight, while simultaneously portraying President Obama as a pratfalling economic lightweight. To give Romney's show a powerful punch, it was set in a closed drywall plant owned by the National Gypsum Company. This starkly vacant scene, plus Romney's dark vision, delivered the desired message. Obama's policies equal abandoned factories and lost jobs. A buffo performance! Except for one detail omitted in the candidate's script. National Gypsum's plant was shuttered in 2008 when Republican President George W. Bush's disastrous financial deregulation policies caused such a complete collapse in the housing market that the home building industry still can't recover. But that's Obama's fault, groused Romney right on cue. Quote, if the president's economic plans worked, this factory would be open by now. Even though he owns three homes and is presently tripling the size of his California beach house, Mitt apparently doesn't know that drywall is a product used chiefly in home building. With home construction in the dumps, so is demand for drywall. That, not Obama's policies, is why National Gypsum's plant remains closed. And guess who has truculently blocked even modest proposals by Obama to stop foreclosures and put more capital into home building? Republican congressional leaders and Wall Street lobbyists, cheered on by Mitt. This is Jim Hightower saying, now guess who is proposing to return America to the failed laissez-faire dereg policies of Bushonomics? Yes, the star of the farce in Elyria.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First
First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us,
like us,
love us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 6 o'clock, happy Tuesday, a May Day, the first day of May 2012. And let me just quickly address May Day for what that might mean to many of you. Of course, I want to remind you there is a march that will happen at Clark Park. We'll take you downtown. So if you want to join that, they'll start. And there's a couple different parades today or marches today. But everybody's going to meet up there and find their way to Grand Circus Park. Interestingly, of course, the conservatives on the Facebook page have to make fun of May Day. I threw back a couple volleys this morning. We'll see if that asshat responds. But it's so odd to me that the 99%, can I just very quickly address that? Of course I can. It's my show. The 99% is not something you join. It's something you are. And I think that's the part that some of these people don't get. And so when you start criticizing the 99%, unless I got it wrong, most of you are part of the 99%. So why are you criticizing what you are? That's the part that I don't get. Just saying, happy May Day to everybody. Whatever it is you're going to do today, do it with gusto, do it with pride, do it responsibly, and do it nonviolently above all else. Fair enough? Fair enough. Jeff, I don't know if you saw the article that Dawood Waleed just tweeted that he attached us to. If you get a chance, if you can post that to the Facebook page, I'd appreciate it. Interesting article, so I'll just let that hang out on its own. In the meantime, let us get to some audio. A couple different stories. One of them actually ties nicely into our First Shift a Facebook poll question today, which is, should the Detroit Financial Board have Detroit residents appointed to it? There's a great story in the Free Press this morning. Now, some feel passionately that of all the nine members of the board, there should at least be a couple that are Detroit residents. So we asked the question, should they be appointed? The answers are yes, of course, or no. It's about skill, not geography. So take that for what it's worth. I'm not weighing in on that. I'm just throwing the topic out there. Well, this audio from WXYZ Channel 7 about that very issue, picking the financial team in Detroit.
The financial stability agreement reached with the state calls for Detroit City Council to choose two people for a nine-member financial advisory board, and members began their selection process today. Gail Sparks-Pitts is the comptroller for Oakland Community College.
And I'm responsible for the financial integrity of the college, producing financial statements. My overall responsibility consists of payroll, accounts receivable, accounts payable, revenues, property tax assessments.
W. Howard Morris is the former emergency financial manager for the Inkster School District.
When you're overspending, you have to cut. There's no easy way around it. So, unfortunately, had to lay off employees, had to close the school, had to cease travel. I'm an accountant by training, and I can be very anal. So, I went through the books line by line.
When assembled, the Financial Advisory Board will have input and certain authority regarding union contracts, cutbacks, and consolidations. Council members wanted to make one thing perfectly clear to candidates. This will be a thankless job with intense scrutiny, coupled with long hours and low pay. From downtown Detroit, Val Clark, 7 Action News.
Yeah, you know, and thanks, Val, at some level. No thanks, Val. I don't always like the way she reports on stuff. I think that she has a bias. And I don't even know if it's a conservative bias or what it is, but there's just something about her that's always rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm just being honest. some of you have commented that I'm a little hard on these local reporters. I don't care. I don't care. They have a job to do. They should do it better than they do it. That's the bottom line. All right. So the question's out there. If you get a chance, go to the Facebook page and answer the poll question. A little background there. Channel 7 also does a piece on not the emergency financial manager in Pontiac. Well, that would be for the city. Unfortunately for the school district, they are facing a tough decision. And we now know that a review team is headed their way for the Pontiac school system, and this is what they report on that.
We don't want one here. Well, the community doesn't want it. The teachers don't want it. The staff does not want it. We can work out our problems here, and we can work out this financial situation.
The president of the Pontiac Teachers Union says an emergency manager is the last thing the teachers want. But word that the first step in the process, a financial review team is headed to town, is no surprise, considering the dire financial straits of the district, namely a $25 million deficit.
It is definitely clear we are $25 million in debt.
The interim superintendent, Dr. Walter Burt, tells 7 Action News the review team is coming to Pontiac and soon because the current deficit elimination plan is not working.
Well, we would hope we would have a sit down with them and be able to have a conversation about how they've put this deficit elimination plan together and what is their expectations from the unions.
Even with the sudden layoffs of 95 employees, including 38 teachers just 2 weeks ago, and other cuts in the district, it's not nearly enough to cut $15 million by June 30th. That's what Pontiac needs to do, says Dr. Burt, and then cut $10 million more within 2 years. And that could mean more layoffs.
For them to have their livelihoods hanging over their head, will they have a job the next day? Will they have a paycheck on payday? It's nerve-wracking, and it's taking its toll.
This will likely be the first stop for the financial review team, and the teachers are hoping the second stop will be with them. In Pontiac, at the school administration building, I'm Cheryl Choden, 7 Action News.
You know, I understand that they have some financial difficulties there. I'm not arguing that. I'm not arguing that there are some difficult decisions that need to be made. I don't argue that either. But I do agree with the president of the schools, the union. Give them the opportunity to correct this. I think oftentimes, you've heard me criticize this before. Oftentimes we don't go to the very people that are affected by this burden and ask them what they see as the solution to the problem. And oftentimes, as we learned when Ed McNeil was in the studio with us from AFSCME Local 25, oftentimes, ladies and gentlemen, the union has the answer to the problem, but no one listens to them. And why is that? Why is that? And I can tell you the answer. The answer is simple. The reason that the union doesn't listen to is that that would give them power that management doesn't want to give them. As sad as that is, and that's a very sad indictment against management. Sad indictment, but it's true. You see, it's kind of like that conservative philosophy that we fight all the time as liberals, that all of our good ideas, and again, well, we've demonstrated, we showed you the studies that were independently done, that liberals are smarter than conservatives. It's just fundamentally true. And so as we, you know, we understand their frustration when you don't, let me just say it the way I know how to say it. All right. When you don't understand something, and that's a nice way of saying when you're not as smart, when you don't understand something, and someone else comes along with a better idea, and you know it's inherently a better idea, and you don't know how to articulate it because you're not smart enough to do it, and I'm okay with that, as you should be too. Just let the smarter idea reign. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with just saying, you've got a better idea. You can get me to the finish line quicker. You can save me money by doing it your way. What's wrong with doing that? Because that's where ego gets in the way. And so when, as we have seen since 2010, when the Republicans here at the state level got power, it wasn't because they were smarter at stuff. It's because Democrats weren't as proactive as they needed to be. I preach that everywhere I go. Anybody that's heard me speak, I said it on Saturday when I spoke to the AFT at the AFT conference. We need to take some responsibility. Of course we do. For what happened, we didn't vote in the kind of numbers we needed to vote in. There are more Democrats in the state of Michigan than there are Republicans. There's no question that's true. We didn't do our job. That being said, I just find it so insulting that in a situation like at the Pontiac school system, they just don't allow the union to try to fix the problem. Because I can almost guarantee you, and I say almost because I don't know these folks personally. I've never worked with them. I don't have a personal experience with them. But if I did, and by the way, at one time my oldest son did go to Pontiac schools. Before we moved out to the Dearborn area, my son, you know, we lived in Auburn Hills. We were in the Pontiac School District. My wife and I were very involved in his education. All I'm saying is that we just need to start giving people that are actually doing these jobs a chance to correct these problems. And I really wish that we would kind of surrender our egos and let this stuff happen. Does that make sense to any of you? Seriously, doesn't it make sense at some level? All right, more on the other side. And, of course, your calls are always welcome. 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony@thetonyshow.org. And on Twitter, ask Tony Trupiano. Don't forget to find us and like us on Facebook. We're up to 1,035 likes, and we're growing, and we're growing. All right, we'll take a break. A lot more to do on the other side of this. Stay with us. This is First Shift, and you're listening to 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I want the top wealthiest Americans to be taxed higher and that money to go to education.
I want true democracy for the 99% of us who don't have it anymore.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW. CW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Recently on First Shift.
Susan Demas is a political analyst for MERS News Service, Domestic Partner Benefits. When that went poof, the immediacy of that was radical for a lot of people. And more importantly, Susan, it hurt a lot of people.
That's a piece of legislation that I personally am very offended by and don't think ever should have come to pass. And I don't understand why a Republican governor who claims to support civil unions would ever sign such a piece of legislation. However, it's not unusual for legislation in this state to get immediate effect. In fact, it is the norm. It is the extreme exception to the rule when it does not, no matter how uncontroversial or controversial it is.
Is it time to change the rule?
Well, we can discuss it. We can have a philosophical discussion, but the rules are going to be made by whoever's in power, so I don't think that either of us would be able to persuade Jace Bolcher.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us.
First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First Shift on 1310 WDTW with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour, you've been invited to join me, and you're always welcome to do that, by the way. 888-552-3595. Les in Detroit has taken me up on that invitation, and he joins us now, and we appreciate him taking the time to call. Good morning, Les. How are you?
Good morning, fellow patriots.
You know, I love it. Have I told you how much I love the way you greet us every morning?
I feel, Tony, you know, I started listening to your show some time ago, and I feel that you have the right idea to bring democracy into the 21st century.
Well, thank you.
You know, and what you're talking about right now, you know, is very profound to me, to bring common sense, you know, governance into our community. It seems like it's an easy fix. And when over the years, like this past Thursday, this coming Thursday, Tony, a bunch of patriots went to Cincinnati to fight for a fundamental right for taxation, to fight for taxation without representation, when, you know, the governor, Engler, decided to just sign the rights of the citizens of Detroit school board away from us. You know, to me was, you know, outrageous. And I thought just 500 people going up to Lance, up to Cincinnati, was just a mere trifle to when it was over a million people in the city. And you know, we got over 600 million people in the state. I think everybody should have been standing up against these draconian laws of, you know, keeping us in the 19th century. You know, are we going to be a nation that's going to progress, or are we going to stay to a Neanderthal thinking bunch of legislators that we're going to continue to represent us? We need to change that, and I thank you for your coming on every morning and trying to convince the people to get involved in the process.
Well, you know, I stop and think just for a moment. I appreciate what you said, but if people would just stop and think for a moment. If we just stopped relying on those that quote unquote lead us to make decisions and start participating, because we've always been invited to participate. You know, there's a reason why there's an Open Meetings Act. There's a reason why you can go to the city council meeting, or you can give testimony to Congress or at the state level. There's a reason why they give you access. The majority of people don't take it, less, but it's there. And shame on us for not being more engaged. But you know what? I happen to think people like you and I have the answers. I really believe we have the answers to what ails us.
So Tony, what is the since I've been doing this for a little while, you know, I work with the Keep the Vote No Takeover, who orchestrated this bus riot to Cincinnati and fought back this draconian law. You know, call them out. We've been trying to get people to wake up. What will wake them up, Tony? What is going to wake them up?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I'd like to think that whether the metaphor or not works, hey, we're trying to wake them up here in the morning. So by virtue of what we do on a daily basis, I'd like to think that we've woke a few people up, that we've given a few people a little courage to step up. I meet people, Les, when I go to places, when I show up at places, I've had people come up to me and say, I wasn't involved until I heard your radio show. So that's part of what we do, just a part of what we do. Les, people like you have to continue to be unafraid and to do what the right thing is to do. And sometimes that takes sacrifice. I'll bet you, Les, there are things that you could be doing besides, you know, organizing these trips and taking time out of your day. I'm not saying better. I'm not saying worse. I'm just saying there are other things that you could be doing. But, you know, sometimes, I'm sorry, but sometimes we just need to do what needs to be done, and we can't quit. That's the answer to your question is we just can't quit.
Well, and you're right, Tony. Believe me, I had a better plan for my life than, you know, trying to fight this system that I thought it should be, you know, I thought we had all these bugs out of our system already that, you know, we want true democracy. We want fair play. We want better education. We want just better jobs in our community. But it seems like it's fighting tooth and nail. Coming from Detroit, it seems like they're just fighting Detroit every avenue to keep us down.
Les, my brother, there is no question in my mind. There is no question in my mind that the same rules that will lift us up and lift us out are the same rules that hold us down. It is we who decide which way those rules will go.
I just want to say I appreciate you, Tony.
Well, really, I know. Do. I appreciate you, Les. I do. Thank you. Listen, folks, I God bless you, Les. I appreciate that. But think about it for a moment. When you have access, when there are checks and balances, there are ways to do this right and to do it wrong. And that platform is out there. It's out there for you to utilize or for you to abuse. You decide. How that works, and so, you know, however that's going to come down, and you have a say in that. So part of that is, you know, again, I talk about showing up and standing up. Part of it is, you know, are you willing to stand up? Not everybody is. Not everybody needs to. But more people do need to do that than not do that. This idea, you know, just type into any search engine, general work strike, and you're going to see this massive and incredibly foreign idea, at least to some of you. What would happen if we were to shut down commerce in this country for a half a day, a couple hours, a full day, a week, oh my God, a month? If the people of this country decided that they wanted to invoke a revolution, a peaceful revolution, we could effect such drastic change in this country immediately. We are really master negotiators. We are. We are profoundly intelligent as a collective community, and we have a bright and amazing future if that is the decision that we make collectively to have together. This isn't about black or white. It's not about Asian or American Indian. It's not about this or that. It's not even about immigrants versus this. It's not about Christian versus Muslim. It's none of that. These are all made up things. You see, there was a time in this country, and in fact, it wasn't that long ago. Folks, none of us are that old. It wasn't that long ago where we decided that we wanted to fight for something that was better, more profound, and so we did that. What is it going to take, Les, to incite that kind of passion in people again? I don't know, but I do know what I don't want. And sadly, I don't even have to step on my toes anymore to see it. It's that close, off in the horizon. It's time to stand up. We'll take a break here for the top of the hour. An amazing 7 o'clock hour coming up on this May Day. Stay where you're at. First Shift continues after this top of the hour break.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
We got good news on 75 northbound as you're approaching 12 Mile. They've cleared that accident, but it's still a slow go from 696. Got a new one on 96 westbound just before the Davidson. Accident is blocking your left shoulder. And over on 275 northbound at the 696 exit, an accident is on the left shoulder of the ramp to 96 westbound. And on Michigan Avenue at 14th Street, traffic lights are not working, so use caution in that area. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 71 degrees. Tonight, 53 degrees with late night showers. Tomorrow, 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day, and it's currently 53 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and at
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansen. It's been a year since the raid that killed Osama bin Laden, and
hey,
now there are political repercussions
with Tony
following a video by the Obama campaign.
Right here
NBC's
on 1310 WDTW.
You're born Detroit.
NBC
President
News
Obama
is
fighting back.
The president took issue with the criticism that his campaign has been overusing the bin Laden anniversary for political gain, and then alluded to the fact that Romney himself once questioned the president's judgment about going it alone in Pakistan.
Occupy protesters are calling for a day without school or work today, May Day, with demonstrations planned in more than 100 cities nationwide. Troubling stats in the Journal of the American Medical Association, the number of babies born addicted to painkillers and other prescription drugs has nearly tripled over the past decade. And Mom, don't throw out those old baseball cards. A 1909 Honus Wagner card just hit a home run at auction, fetching $1.2 million. Reason? They're rare. Only about 60 Wagner cards still exist. This is NBC News Radio. Secretary of State Clinton arrives in China today, a visit complicated by the status of a Chinese dissident, Chen Guangcheng, who is under the protection of U.S. diplomats. NBC's Ian Williams.
One big sticking point may be Chen's stated preference to stay in China and fight for justice instead of accepting a one-way ticket to exile. Another is the fate of his family.
U.S. workers are stashing away more money in their 401ks. Fidelity Investments says balances are up 8% to an average of $75,000. In a year of weather extremes, some welcome news. Experts say the Atlantic hurricane season will be near or slightly below average. The Weather Channel predicting 11 named storms, of which 6 will be hurricanes. AccuWeather predicting just 5 big blows. And those angry birds are flying high. Game maker Rovio says its Angry Birds space game has been downloaded more than 50 million times since it blasted off March 22nd. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansen, NBC News Radio.
And now Geico presents 30 Seconds with Maxwell the Pig.
Hey, everyone. I'm Maxwell, and my life is kind of awesome because whenever Geico wants to talk about their new mobile app, they're like, hey, Maxwell, you feel like coming to the studio and talking about how the app lets you manage your policy, you know, and get roadside help and even customize it with your favorite Geico character? And I'm like, maybe. Are there going to be snacks?
Everything you love about Geico, now mobile. Download the new Geico app today.
Mike Rowe talks with a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of sales event.
We have a big tire and brake sales event.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
We have special rebates, offers, and discounts.
Stop by a Ford dealer now to buy 4 select tires and get a $100 rebate. Plus, get a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires. It involves brakes, too.
Correct.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
Offer cannot be combined. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 5/31/12.
If it's been a while since you checked your retirement savings balance, you might like what you see today. Fidelity Investments reports the balances specifically of its customers' 401k plans increased 8% during this year's first quarter. Most of that jump came from excellent market performance, but also from contribution amounts rising again. We're getting a mixed picture so far today in manufacturing. First, China reported that nation's manufacturing activity unexpectedly rebounded in April, suggesting possible resurgence in the world's fastest-growing major economy. But later, the UK reported an unexpectedly steep drop in April manufacturing, especially related to exports to the U.S. and mainland Europe. Shortly after Wall Street's opening bell this morning, the Institute for Supply Management gives us this nation's measure of April manufacturing. Japan's Nikkei stock index tumbled almost 2% today. Most European markets closed for May Day. S&P futures are flat. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I've been riding since I was 17, flat out my whole life, had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I had taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
Merriman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Merriman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
An idea.
A thought.
Born in Dearborn. The product of hard work, teamwork, pride. Put in the hands of the people.
For the people.
And made in America.
It's time to punch in for your
first shift. Now, here's Tony Trujillo.
Happy May Day to you, folks. It's getting interesting. It's getting interesting. What do I mean? Well, go on over to the Facebook page. You'll see the ongoing discussion. It's getting interesting. Just don't have time to play the game during the show, but certainly we'll have time afterwards. We are going to do our monthly segment with the Michigan Environmental Council here in just a minute. But before we get to that, do want to remind you at the bottom of the hour, Fran Brennan will be joining us from Working America. As I shared with you in the last hour and will share with you throughout the morning, there is an odd, well, okay, maybe not odd. There is a, well, yeah, I guess kind of odd. There is an odd chance that we could actually accomplish something profound today. What is that? A reconsideration of Senate Bill 619, the Symer Schools bill, is going to go up for reconsideration. Now, listen, we can talk odds all we want, but bottom line is we do have a chance, and whenever there's a chance, we've got to take it. So pay attention a little later on, and we're going to get you all the information you need, and then I need you to engage in that fight. Of course, Occupy Detroit will occupy first shift at 7:50, but before we get to that, as promised, our monthly segment with the Michigan Environmental Council. Joining us now, the policy director of the MEC is James Clift, who is, of course, no stranger to this audience. And it's a pleasure, James, to have you back on first shift on this May Day.
Good morning.
Well, listen, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about, and I just learned about this when I did my homework for this segment yesterday. What fascinating, actually, this is a fascinating topic. Senate Bill 248. Okay, so people are going, okay, Senate Bill 248. Let's give people a little foundation here, because I do find this to be fascinating. I really do.
Yeah, the sponsor of the bill is from the Upper Peninsula, and what the bill would do is put a cap on the amount of land the state of Michigan can own. And I think what he's thinking is up in the Upper Peninsula, the state and the federal government own a lot of land, and therefore they want to kind of force them to sell the land. But what we don't like about this bill, if you get into the Lower Peninsula, especially the bottom part of the Lower Peninsula where most of the people in the state of Michigan live, the state doesn't own very much land at all. And that's what we rely on for our recreation. That's where we go hiking and biking and hunting. And there's really kind of a shortage of state-owned land and recreational opportunities. So we're really worried that this bill kind of stops in the track any any ability by the state to kind of open up more of that recreational opportunity that really attracts young professionals to want to stay in Michigan and work here.
All right. Well, you know, again, I said that this was fascinating for a couple of reasons. You bring up, James, an important point here, which is, of course, the sponsor of this legislation does live in the Upper Peninsula. And, all right, so, I'm, once again, I understand that we elect people to represent us, and at some level that happens by district. And, of course, those districts are... their boundaries in our communities, et cetera, et cetera. All right, we understand, we get all that. That's all fine and well. But at some level as well, James Clift, they understand that they have to take a larger view of what it means to represent, because they're not just representing their community, they're representing their state. And this seems to be a little short-sighted, in my opinion. You, of course, point out one of the reasons why that would be true. I'm just kind of curious, because if I did my homework properly, this bill has been sitting out there for the better part of a year now. Why has it been slowed down in the Senate? Do you know?
Well, because there's a lot of resistance to it. The Michigan Environmental Council has been working with kind of our partners in the conservation area, the Michigan United Conservation Clubs, the Nature Conservancy, a lot of the groups that really kind of get into this issue of watching how much land and what we use it for are really concerned and really have been fighting this bill and trying to slow it down. Now, part of the bill says that, you know, the state should have a plan for when they're going to buy and sell land. We agree with that. We're 100% with the sponsor that we should have a better long-term plan. We just disagree with kind of this poison pill that says, hey, we're going to put this cap on how much we can own, and until the legislature says it can come off, we're going to leave it on.
All right, so with that said, do we have any idea, by the way, how the governor feels on this issue, or has he stayed quiet to this point?
Been pretty quiet to this point, not really kind of showing the cards and whether or not he would veto it. You know, I'm a little worried that if he thinks the majority of both houses think it's okay, he might go along with it, although we would be putting pressure on him also to veto it if it got to his desk.
And what would be the fiscal impact, James Clift, if you know of passing Senate Bill 248?
There's not a big fiscal impact. You know, we make payments to locals for the land that we own. So in tight years, we've struggled with that a little bit, but, you know, again, the budget coming back around, so that hasn't been a problem. We're looking more kind of long-term on this one. It's like, you know, what if all the forestry companies started to say, hey, we don't see this profitable anymore, we're going to dump all of our forest land on the open market? We have a lot of businesses in Michigan who need forest products to survive, so we wouldn't want all that go out of forest production. You know, the state of Michigan could step in the short term and own that property and make sure that we've still got wood to supply those businesses. There seems to be a lot of situations. You think about the whole Pure Michigan campaign of trying to attract tourism to Michigan. You know, what if we got the opportunity to buy some great new parcel of land that we could turn into a premier park to attract people to the state of Michigan to spend tourism dollars? It just seems to close off a lot of potential opportunities that are out there in the future.
Well, fair enough. I mean, that is fair enough. When we this is one of those issues where we take a look at it and we say, well, I don't know that it really impacts me, but you, I think, did a nice job of foundationally giving us an indicator as to why it does, especially downstate, impact us. Anybody that's, of course, engaged in using state parks, and let's be honest, it's everything from fishing and boating to camping, right? I have that right, don't I?
Yeah, everyone has that right. And you think about some of our educators who are out there talking about, you know, kids not getting outdoors these days and how that's impacting their creativity, impacting kind of their educational learning, actually. I saw somebody the other day coined the term nature deficit disorder. kind of liked that frame that, you know, it's really good to get kids outdoors and playing and recreating in the outdoors just because it challenges their brain in different ways. You know, a lot of our urban areas have a big challenge as far as having those recreational opportunities available, which also kind of gets into just their physical health and the ability to get out there and get some exercise.
No question. So what do we understand that there's going to be a hearing on that this morning, on this morning at 9 a.m., is that correct?
That's correct.
And so what do we need our audience to do? What are we asking them to do for us this morning?
Well, the bill's in the House of Representatives, so contacting your representative and saying, you know, hey, no cap on the state ownership of land. I mean, the legislature always has this authority. If they don't appropriate any money to buy land, the state doesn't buy land. So they have this authority, but to lock in and say, we're going to put it in law that there should be a cap is bad policy. So vote no on 248 is the message we have for our listeners this morning.
All right. Well, and I think that they just need to reach out and do that. I will tell you that if you do, folks, a quick search engine search of Senate Bill 248, a lot of information will come up. There's a legislative analysis that was done by the House Fiscal Agency that really lays it out beautifully. James I. Clift, I don't know if you've seen it, but it just lays everything out. The very, very common sense. It gives you, oh, my God, facts and figures and stuff that you can actually make a real decision on. And, you know, again, this is one of those issues that really does impact everybody. And we don't want to be, again, we don't want to be nearsighted about this kind of stuff. We want to make sure that the right thing is being done. And this is one of those cases where I would even venture to guess that, especially some of us that live downstate, your representative probably isn't that familiar. In fact, you could probably be more familiar with this issue than he or she might be. It doesn't hurt to educate them a little bit. Again, Senate Bill 248, and just give them a call today and tell them no. It's that simple. James, thanks so much for being with us this morning. I appreciate you giving us your time.
Thank you, Tony.
You bet. It's always a pleasure. You know, folks, you stop and think about the impact. That something that may seem as non-consequential as this issue is, and it is not non-consequential, by the way, by capping this is really the wrong way to go about it. We do need to protect more of our precious resources here in the state of Michigan. And James is right. We think about the Pure Michigan campaign. And, you know, if truly we're going to see an increase in tourism, especially with campgrounds and so on. And I happen to have a family that's really into camping. My in-laws are into it. There's room for expansion. There's no question that's true. Let's not be nearsighted on this issue. All right, a quick break here. We'll be open lines on the other side. And then we are going to be just wall to wall the rest of the show. So if you got to get something in, now is the time to do it. Now would be the time to do it. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back right after this on 1310 WDTW.
Tony Trupiano.
And you guys vote Republican.
I'm not supposed to. This isn't political. So I'm not supposed to say this.
Don't come to me if you do. You're on your own, Jack.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
We got good news on 75 northbound as you're approaching 12 Mile. They've cleared that accident, but it's still a slow go from 696. Got a new one on 96 westbound just before the Davidson. Accident is blocking your left shoulder. And over on 275 northbound at the 696 exit, an accident is on the left shoulder of the ramp to 96 westbound. And on Michigan Avenue at 14th Street, traffic lights are not working, so use caution in that area. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 71 degrees. Tonight, 53 degrees with late night showers. Tomorrow, 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. And it's currently 53 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting
for you now.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
The 2012 Michigan Summit has an ambitious goal in mind, reaching across movements, geography, race, and gender to provide people, skills, and the ideas they need to make the American dream a possibility for all of us in 2012. Follow their lead and register today by going to themichigansummit.org. The Michigan Summit is hosted by Progress Michigan and generously supported by the Arcus Foundation and sponsors like the American Federation of Teachers, Michigan Voice, Service Employees International Union, America Votes, and many more. Please join Progress Michigan on Saturday, May 12, 2012, at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan, beginning at 8 a.m. in what promises to be an amazing day of activities, including the dynamic keynote speakers George Goel and Barbara Arnwine. Don't delay your registration. Just go to themichigansummit.org and register now to guarantee your seat for what will be an amazing day of activism and empowerment.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Very googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time of year. I'm not just talking about May Day now. It is that time of year. You know, Mother's Day is literally less than 2 weeks away. And our friends at proflowers.com have a deal for you. Now, I'm going to get to that in just a second. But I want to remind you of something. Although my dad is remarried, my mom passed away some years ago. My dad remarried to a wonderful woman. She is. She's a great, great wife, and she's been a great stepmother. I still miss my mom, and trust me, I put her through some stuff as a kid, as kids often do. Do not forget your mom, your wife, your girlfriend, an aunt. Lots of mom influences in our lives, right, guys? Seriously, there are. This is what I want you to do. I want you to make up for a little bit of that stuff, or just a way of saying thank you to mom. And all you need to do is just go to proflowers.com, and they've got a nice little deal for you going on there. You can get a dozen rainbow roses, plus a free glass vase for only $19.99, which is an incredible price, and they are guaranteed to last up to 7 days. So, again, just go to proflowers.com, click on the mic, and type in the code Tony T, T-O-N-Y-T, to get that deal. Now, listen, you can place the order today, and they will deliver it, obviously, closer to Mother's Day. So you don't need to worry about that. You'll tell them when you want it delivered. They will deliver it. And if your mom is more of a green thumb person, ProFlowers is offering a pink potted rose for you guys only. You can upgrade to the pink potted rose plant and upgrade pot for just $10 more. Don't forget, there are other women in your life. Again, as I said, the wife, maybe grandma, sister, daughter. Really, don't forget any of these folks. And at these prices, it makes no sense not to send everybody a little bit of a reminder of how much you love them. Order now, again, www.proflowers.com, or you can call them directly at 1-800-PROFLOWERS. That's P-R-O-F-L-O-W-E-R-S. Again, click on the microphone when you go to the website and type in Tony T, T-O-N-Y-T. Folks, don't forget Mother's Day is May 13th. Let's go to the phones. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Charles in Detroit joins us now. Happy May Day to you, Charles. How are you today?
Hooray, hooray, for the very first of May. Happy May Day to you, Tony.
God bless you, my friend. God bless you.
I'm about to go out and dance around the Maypole with the girls.
Those were. Do you remember that on recess and when you were in school dancing around the Maypole? The girls would be dancing around. I remember that.
Wow. I never was. I only read about it in books, but that's great.
Fair enough. Yeah, Fair enough.
You know, spring is here, and we want a shorter work week with no cut and pay, just like the Haymarket martyrs wanted back in Chicago in the 1880s, because May Day is originated in America, Chicago.
Right.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that. That's why I mentioned it. You know, the martyrs and glory to the martyrs who died for the cause of the eight-hour day.
Well, Charles, thank you for your call. I think people often forget the sacrifices that were made to give us the freedoms that we have in the workplace today. That's why I so get upset with those that disrespect the union movement. You know, at least have respect for the movement. So maybe you don't love unions. I'm not forcing that down your throat. I'm not. I truly don't do that. But folks, at least respect the journey. I mean, can you not understand how critical that was or is to this day? But certainly respect the journey, how we got here, those things that we hold as sacrosanct, or God forbid, even worse, the disrespect by expecting those things that actually came as a result of bloodshed, expecting them just to be there, and then having the audacity to criticize. I go back to being at UAW Local 600, having Peaches, a retiree, walk me through the visual history of Local 600. It was a beautiful and profound experience for me. Truly was. We go back to the phones. Again, feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. My brother Amir is on the other end. Amir, as always, a happy and a blessed May Day to you, my friend.
Well, happy and a blessed May Day to you too, sir. Tony, the one thing I want people to always remember, the state has been helping the city of Detroit since 1999, and it hasn't gotten any better. So if we stop with all the austerity programs that we're running through our cities, our community, and we start actually trying to invest and improve our cities and communities, that would actually bring us out of these deficits. The problem with Detroit is the revenue is gone. When you eliminate the workforce, when you eliminate the corporations from having to pay taxes inside the city or inside communities, you eliminate revenues, you destroy cities. All the vacant land that we got going on in the city of Detroit, none of these geniuses ever came up with, hey, you know, Obama's big on his renewable energies. Why don't we make some solar fields, solar blocks, hydrothermal blocks? We don't think in those terms because we want to destroy and outsource our government. Just like the guy that was on about the Michigan Environmental. They're trying to sell public land to private people. All these Republicans want to do is corporatize the whole state. So yeah. People wake up.
Amir, you actually came to mind this morning. I was working on something before I left the house, and you actually came to my mind. And then we kind of talked about it on the air earlier today, which is this idea that if we were just to reach out to the people in our community that have a voice and ask them how we solve the problems that ail us, we would actually find the answers. I would venture to guess, Amir, and if I'm wrong, you'll correct me, that if you were to be asked by this mayor or by any founder, any leader in the city of Detroit, if you were asked to get involved in a committee to help solve these problems, you would volunteer to do that in a heartbeat. Am I right?
Oh, most definitely. Matter of fact, I'll do it for free.
I know you would.
As you said, volunteer. All these finance. See, then this is the thing I don't understand. You want us to turn our city around, but you put another $1.8 million of debt on top of our heads. You know, people, if they ask me what do I think, cut the city council's pay, cut all the mayor's staff pay, leave the unions alone, eliminate a lot of these private contracts that you got going on that you took out of public services, and you privatize it because it costs more. Let's be realistic. Privatization costs more. Turn Belle Isle, keep it so that we in the city still control it, that we in the county still have a place that we can go and refuge, and leave some of the space out to businesses and keep it that people can still get on there free.
And we're going to leave it there, Amir. We're just up against the clock. As always, I appreciate you and appreciate your point of view. Fran Brennan with Working America. You want to pay attention to this one when First Shift continues. Thank you, Amir.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
We got good news on 75 northbound as you're approaching 12 Mile. They've cleared that accident, but it's still a slow go from 696. Got a new one on 96 westbound just before the Davidson. Accident is blocking your left shoulder. And over on 275 northbound at the 696 exit, an accident is on the left shoulder of the ramp to 96 westbound. And on Michigan Avenue at 14th Street, traffic lights are not working, so use caution in that area. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 71 degrees. Tonight, 53 degrees with late night showers. Tomorrow, 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. And it's currently 53 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. What does Mitt Romney really believe, and how does that contrast with President Obama? The AFL-CIO has released a video that includes comments from both. While Romney says on his campaign website that he supports letting workers freely decide whether or not to join unions, he makes it pretty clear where he really stands on the basic worker right that the United Nations considers a universal human right.
I'm concerned when I watch a president kowtow to the union bosses by putting in place those labor stooges at the NLRB.
I've taken on union bosses before. I'm happy to take them on again.
Contrast that with President Obama's comments on unions and values that American workers hold dear.
The values at the core of the union movement, those don't change. Those are the values that have made this country great. So when I hear some of these folks trying to take collective bargaining rights away, trying to pass so-called right-to-work laws for private sector workers that really mean the right to work for less and less and less, when I hear some of this talk, I know this is not about economics. This is about politics.
I keep on hearing these same folks talk about values all the time. You want to talk about values? Hard work, that's a value. Looking out for one another, that's a value. The idea that we're all in it together and I'm my brother's keeper and sister's keeper, that's a value.
For more information, go to labor2012@aflcio.org. Why is Labor Day in the U.S. more of a patriotic picnic than an international day of worker solidarity the way it is elsewhere around the globe? Jesse Russell explains.
While many countries around the world will be taking part in the International Workers' Holiday today, a day that commemorates Chicago's Haymarket Massacre, by acknowledging the importance of workers in society, the United States hasn't joined those countries in solidarity in decades. Historian Anthony R. Nove explains why the U.S. celebrates Labor Day in September and not on May 1st.
For many years, we in the United States also celebrated Labor Day on May Day.
And that was actually very consciously changed. And Labor Day was established as a federal holiday and turned into a kind of picnic, patriotic version that had the teeth taken out of it, had the history taken out of it, had the meaning really drained out of it in order to turn Labor Day into a day that celebrated work in the most meaningless sense, didn't celebrate the struggles of workers, which have been very long and rich in this country for basic rights, rights for an eight-hour day, rights to eliminate child slavery, and rights to even form a union.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310WDTW.
35 minutes after the hour, Tony Trupiano back with you. Again, we don't often get the opportunity to re-engage, and we have a unique opportunity this morning. Now, listen, I started posting about this stuff. In fact, I can actually go look. So whatever, 18 hours ago when I posted this. So that's when I originally posted what we're going to talk about in this next segment. I got a call yesterday from Fran Brennan with Working America. Some of you will remember Fran from being with us before. And we had talked about, unfortunately, after the show on Friday, Senate Bill 619 had come up, or was it Thursday? Anyway, the bottom line was timing wasn't good for us. I'm going to tell you why the timing wasn't good, because the Republicans are sneaky. They are. They're sneaky, and that's okay. That's all right. But I want you to understand that, that Fran and her staff were doing their job. They were, you know, on the street knocking doors. We had Fran on the show to talk about that. But they were also talking to legislators, and they were saying, listen, we need you to be diligent on this, and do we have your support? One of those people was State Rep Dale Zorn, a Republican from Idaho, who had told Fran on the phone that he absolutely was a no vote, only to turn around and vote yes. Now, I get a call from Fran yesterday. Tony, I need your help. That's why I posted what I posted. But I told her I needed her help. And that was, of course, to join us this morning, as she does right now. Fran Brennan with Working America is on the phone right now. Fran, good morning to you.
Good morning, Tony.
Listen, I don't need people to be optimistic or pessimistic. I just need people to be active this morning. What do we need them to do? I mean, literally right now, what do we need them to do?
Well, and if I could just address something that you said with regards to Republicans being sneaky, actually our members think that the sneakiness and the rushing things through without people knowing about it needs to end. And this is one of those cases in point. What we would really like is for people to call Representative Zorn's office and also their own representative's office and really urge them to, first of all, vote in favor of reconsidering this bill. And then, secondly, once it's reconsidered and on the floor, to vote against SB 619.
All right. Now, I've got Representative Zorn's number. It's 517, and I've posted it to the Facebook page. It's still there from yesterday, folks. It's not buried. It's there. 517-373-2617. 517-373-2617. Now, you know, because you were nice enough to break this down for me on the phone yesterday, because I'm not always the brightest tool, you know, the brightest bulb on the tree. I'll admit that. Reconsideration, Fran, literally means what it sounds like it means, that the legislature, if somebody says we'd like you, and somebody in the House says we'd like you to reconsider your vote on something that's already been voted on, that they have an opportunity to do that, right? It is that simple.
It is that simple, and especially in this case, because the vote was so close, and additionally because so many of the people of Michigan have been calling their representatives, this is one of those cases where it seems truly compelling to reconsider this vote.
Absolutely. And so, there again, there's a two-step process, Fran. We want to make sure people understand this. As you said, they need to call both Representative Zorn and their own representative and to vote in favor of reconsideration. And we only need a simple majority on that question, correct?
Correct.
All right. So that's all you need to do. Just please, you know, call them and say, please vote yes on reconsidering SB 619. That's simple. Once they do that, there will be, if it passes, an immediate vote to reconsider.
There will be an immediate vote once reconsideration passes. Then it will go to a vote on SB 619.
All right. Now, that's where it gives us our chance. And this is where I'm saying, I don't care if you're optimistic or pessimistic, and I appreciate the optimism if you are, and I'm not worried about the pessimism if you're that. I just need you to do this.
Yeah, and Tony, I think one thing that I would really like to emphasize, there were several representatives that were saying that they were going to vote against this. And they were, you know, telling members, our members at Working America, that they were definitely going to vote against the bill. You know, and as it got closer and closer, Representative Zorn, up until noon of the day of the vote, continued to say to our members he was going to vote against SB 619. That's a commitment. That's a he looked at people, you know, and looked them in the eyes and made a promise to vote against SB 619, to vote against supporting K-12 Incorporated, and to vote for our children and our communities. And then he completely turned around and voted in our minds the wrong way.
Has he addressed publicly at least why he did that?
One of the things that he's commented on is something with regards, and this does get kind of into the weeds, but something to do with a seat waiver that his school districts wanted with regards to online courses. That doesn't really seem to be a valid reason, because what we determined is that part of the resolution was already accepted weeks before the actual vote. So he, trying to explain why he changed his mind, that reason doesn't explain it, because
right,
that was in the bill weeks before.
For those of you that don't know what the bill is, or Senate Bill 619 is, Fran, although you and I are talking about it as if it's every baseball stats, we should probably explain exactly what it is. And of course, it covers cyber schools. And it's a little more involved than that, but I do want to let people know what it is that we're asking them to encourage their legislators to vote against.
And thank you. And you're right, Tony. I think that for us at Working America, our members have been just so focused on this because it's been such a tremendous concern for them. The bill is a cyber school charter expansion bill. And what it wants to do is to literally siphon off our public education tax dollars from our community schools and fund privatization schemes that benefit corporate special interests. And it benefits interests that have not proven their capability of being able to actually give a quality education to our students. So we're concerned about the fact that they want to take our tax dollars to help at K-12 incorporate increase their profits. We're additionally concerned that this is something that's not going to improve education and help the students in Michigan, but rather the studies indicate, and we're looking at Stanford University, Colorado, Pennsylvania, their studies show that resoundingly the cyber schools that exist and their performance is way below par. With their math scores, they're 33% with efficiency and accuracy. They have huge dropout issues, three times the amount of students drop out of cyber schools.
And Fran, let me interrupt you for just a moment. What happens, by the way, to that money when those kids drop out of school?
Well, and here's the real kicker in this, a lot of our members feel, is that, for example, in Michigan, they would get $7,000, let's say, per pupil allowance. Now, your child could go to cyber school for 2 months, September and October. They could attend and you could decide as a family it's not working out. It's not meeting your child's needs. I mean, your child would be at home by themselves in front of a computer for hours during the day. If you decide that it's not working out, you then return to your community public school. At that point, the money that was, you know, the allowance that was for your child stays with the cyber school. And then you come back to your community public school. What they've also said, and these are superintendents of schools saying, the students are always behind academically, so they need to have special attention to get caught up. And the resources are no longer there for that child. So everybody at the public school is basically taking a hit on the fact that this child is back, and we want the child back, but that the money didn't come back with the child. And so it's a real budget concern for everyone in the school with regards to that.
Well, there's no question. Listen, I have no problem. We live in, again, a global society, Fran Brennan. I understand that we have challenges from you know, in competition, even in education. I get that. But if we're going to do this, if we're going to play this game, at least let's play it fair. And let's do it with some transparency and some honesty. And when somebody makes you a promise and looks you in the eye and says, I'm not going to do something, then let's hold them accountable, Fran Brennan. And that's all we're saying.
I agree. And that's what our members are saying. We believed Representative Zorn. And we believed that he was going to do what was right for the community. And he, for some reason, has decided to do something else. We're really hoping, I think you know this, Tony, people rarely get a second chance in life. This is his second chance. He has an opportunity today to step up, to vote in favor of reconsideration, and then he has the additional opportunity to do the right thing, to do what his community and the children in his community need, and that is to vote down the cyber school bill, SB 619.
No question that's true. And, Fran, I want to remind this audience, when you talk about your membership are everybody that's listening to me right now, your membership is them, your neighbors, your friends, your family, your aunts, your uncles, your children. That's who that membership represents. Fran Brennan, we're on your side. We've got all the information out there. 517-373-2617. Representative Dale Zorn, do the right thing. Thank you, Fran.
Thank you, Tony.
God bless you. We'll take a break. Hans Barbe with Occupy Detroit when First Shift continues.
With Tony Trubiano.
President Obama wanted to move the dinner to the Kennedy Center this year, but the Republicans wanted to keep it here at the Hilton, so they compromised, and here we are at the Hilton.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Let me welcome to First Shift Representative Richard Hamill.
Now, to give a bill its immediate effect, which means the bill would take effect directly after the governor signs the bill, unless there's something within the bill that there's a provision for it to be extended. But the Constitution clearly says that if 20% or one-fifth of the members in the House of Representatives want to have a record roll call vote on an immediate effect, that that should be granted. And we have not had the ability at all in this last little bit to be able to have a record roll call vote on immediate effect. I'll say not ever all. There's less than five times in the 560 times we passed the bill where we've had immediate effect votes. So at least slow the process down a little bit. Doesn't change the legislation. Doesn't say that people can't pass things that they want. Majority parties have that ability and that's it. But we say the Constitution says that you should have the opportunity to slow it down just a hair.
On 1310, WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
All right, welcome back, everybody. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. A little technical difficulty there. So our normal Occupy Open will go to the wayside just for today, and that's okay. We got bigger fish to fry. Certainly not that big a deal. Let's welcome back, as I said before the break, Hans Barbe, who's here to talk to us today about the glorious May Day activities happening all over town. And I got to tell you, Hans, as I'm starting to get a little bit of crap from the conservatives that troll, you know, the email stuff, the Facebook stuff. Of course, they don't have the courage to call the show. I know what they're afraid of. They're afraid we're going to win. Oh, and Hans, we are winning. Welcome back.
Great to be here, Tony. Thanks.
You bet, brother. What's going on today? There's a lot going on today, so let's talk about that.
It's a very big day. Globally, it's May Day, which is International Workers' Day. Globally, it will be, you'll see a resurgence of the Occupy movement. And locally, there's all kinds of activity going on, starting as early as 9:30. A contingent of folks are meeting in Clark Park and taking buses from there, to Grosse Pointe, the Trader Joe's in Grosse Pointe, and also the Aldi store in Lincoln Park, and folks are going there to protest the fact that they use Monstranardi packaging. Monstranardi is notorious for terrible worker standards, and there's been a big campaign around that to call attention to the fact that their standards are low and Trader Joe's and Aldi shouldn't use their packaging. I'm going to keep going because there's a lot going on.
That's all right, brother. Go, go, go.
Okay, so later on, Clark Park, again, folks are going to be arriving for the big May Day march. This is the May Day coalition of groups, a lot of folks from Southwest Detroit, Occupy Detroit, some labor, some students, immigrant rights folks. So people will be rallying in Clark Park starting at noon for that coalition and leaving there around 1:15 for Mayberry Elementary. Mayberry Elementary is under threat of being closed. Folks will rally there for about 20 minutes and start marching all the way to the train station, Roosevelt Park, on Michigan Avenue. There'll be a rally there. Folks will be moving from there to the Federal Building. At each of these rallies, there will be several speakers. I probably don't have time to rattle off a list. But anyhow, the Federal Building for another 20 minutes or so. Then another stop at the Transit Center downtown. A rally there. And finally, Grand Circus Park, folks will be marching to. And there will be that's where it all winds up. There will be a big rally there and that's longer with entertainment and music and poetry. I'm actually going to be running sound for it. And that's going on from about 3:45 or 4 o'clock thereabouts until 6:30, at which point there will be a general assembly of Occupy Detroit. Thereafter, there will be a one-day encampment of Grand Circus Park, just sort of in, I suppose reminiscence of the original camp that was there. Obviously, the movement has moved on from simply just an encampment, but we will be having a one-day camp there. So bring a tent if you like. You can stay overnight. And after the General Assembly, which should end by about 8 or 8:30, we'll still keep the music going until about 10. That should cover the day. Oh, there is also at 3 p.m., also again in Clark Park, the students who walked out, the high school students from Western and Southwestern, will be rallying there once school is out around the students that walked out, and also trying to organize a further boycott, literally, of the school while these students are suspended. So they'll be rallying at 3 p.m. And trying to show that they're ready to stand up to these threats against their ability to organize and ability to stand up for their own destiny, for their school, trying to save it. And that is a situation we're really trying to call attention with this march and some of these rallies to those students, because they've really been pretty inspirational as far as, you know, what this whole movement is about.
Well, you know, it sounds to me like today is a great day to exercise nonviolent direct action. For those that are unfamiliar with that term, get used to it. You're going to be hearing it a lot. But with that said, Hans, as you know, as I opened this up, I told you that, you know, I'm taking a little crap from the fringe of, you know, society that, you know, thinks that this is just about a bunch of beatniks or whatever that don't have anything better to do today than to grumble. I tried to point out to somebody this morning, would love your perspective on this, Hans, because I think that you and I often think alike, that, you know, these people that are complaining keep forgetting that the 99% is not something that you join, it's something that you are.
Truly. It's, yeah, I mean, this day is meant to wake us up to this. The term working class isn't something you hear too often in the mainstream media. And it's something that we're trying to raise consciousness, you know, elevate consciousness, frankly, to the fact that this whole meme of 99% versus a 1% is a reality. That most of us don't have the means or the influence in society that this 1%, this either economic or political elite, have. And it's simply unjust. I mean, it's a moral stand that we're taking. That is the you know, where we're coming from. This is a moral fight. You know, we're being exploited as workers in a system that furthers to exploit us. I mean, there are winners and losers in this system. There are, you know, people cast aside. There is lots of poverty in America that is unacknowledged and globally. And it is part of a system of capital and, you know, politics and, you know, influence and power and wealth, and it's really a game for a small group of people that are having a great time while the rest of us are just at their whim.
Well, you know, when Hans, I gotta point this out, and you know, this is I'll tell you if you're part of the 99%. That I'm gonna make it really simple. I'm gonna just define it in the simplest of ways. If you believe that with literally within 10 minutes, 5 minutes of where you live, there isn't a hungry child, then you're part of the 99%. If there isn't somebody hungry within 5 minutes of where you live, then you're part of the 1%. It's that simple. Hans, we're just out of time. Have a beautiful and gracious May Day, and we will look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
As always, Hans Barbe. Folks, we take a break. Chris Mihalakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, when First Shift continues.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
There's a lot going on your drive. Let's head over to 275 northbound at the 696-96 connector, where you have the left shoulder blocked by an accident. We have a disabled vehicle blocking your two right lanes on the eastbound 96 service drive just after Livernois. And you got traffic lights not working on Michigan Avenue at 14th Street, so you want to use caution in that area. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 71 degrees. Tonight, 53 degrees with late night showers. Tomorrow, 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. And it's currently 53 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Iklaszewski. Will it be May Day Mayhem? Occupy protesters say they're demonstrating in more than 100 cities across the country, disrupting commuters and calling for a day without school and without work. Correspondent Robert Kovacic in Los Angeles.
This year, Occupy LA is promising a, quote, slow, city-paralyzing, carnivalesque descent into the center of the city. And Occupy LA is tweeting how to defend against tear gas.
In New York, Occupy Wall Street protesters say it may get ugly out there. Public health officials concerned about a new report that finds the number of babies that are born with addictions to painkillers and other prescription drugs has nearly tripled over the past 10 years. And if you don't like the price of gas, buy your own refinery. That's what Delta Airlines is doing, buying the old Phillips refinery in Trainer, Pennsylvania. And move, it says, will save hundreds of millions of dollars on its biggest expense, jet fuel. This is NBC News Radio. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton arrives in China today, and human rights is high on the agenda now that the Chinese dissident Chen Guangchen is under the protection of U.S. diplomats in Beijing, as she tells reporters.
A constructive relationship includes talking very frankly about those areas where we do not agree, including human rights.
The Secretary of State in China, primarily for economic talks, isn't speaking publicly about Chen. Drive a stick shift lately? More Americans are, according to Edmunds.com. The industry analysts say 6.5% of new vehicles sold in the first quarter were shifts. Reasons? They're cheaper, considered more sporty, and modern clutches easier to use. And tooth is stranger than fiction in Poland, where a man broke up with his girlfriend, who was also his dentist. Her payback, next time he had a toothache, she pulled out every one of his teeth. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim Iklaszewski, NBC News Radio.
I'm here with David. Man, those tires look a little worn on your car.
They're bad.
You ever thought about going to Walmart?
Not for tires.
Why not?
Well, I'm looking for Goodyear, Bridgestone, Michelin, you know, good tires.
Actually, Walmart has all those brands, and they're a lot less. Goodyear's even on the rollback. What do you think about that?
Well, I didn't know that.
All right, let me hear your best peel-out sound.
You want me to...
Yeah.
Now with Walmart's Tires on Demand, find over 10,000 top-brand tires and wheels within 24 to 48 hours, all at everyday low prices. Save money, live better. Walmart.
Mike Rowe talks with a real Ford service advisor about a big event.
Fiona, if I didn't know better, I'd say you're having some sort of sales event.
We are the big tire and brake sales event.
What are the important aspects of the sale?
We have special rebates, offers, and discounts.
Stop by a Ford dealer now to buy four select tires and get a $100 rebate. Plus, get a $40 rebate on Motorcraft Complete Brake Service.
So you have a lot of tires and involves brakes, too.
Correct.
Which is why it's called the Big Tire and Brake Sales Event.
You're good.
Yeah, thank you.
Offer cannot be combined. See participating Ford dealer or visit FordOwner.com for vehicle exclusions and rebate details through 531-12.
The quick start to the year for Wall Street is making your retirement savings look quite a bit better. Fidelity Investments reports balances on its customers' 401k accounts rose 8% in the first quarter, mostly because the market did so well, but also because more than twice as many people increased their contribution percentages to 401ks as cut them. Still not gushing are the fortunes of BP, the oil giant reporting a steeper-than-expected 13% drop in first-quarter earnings. A large part of that is blamed on lower production because BP had to sell several oil fields to pay for the 2010 Gulf oil spill. Also reporting earnings, Pfizer, world's biggest drug company, reports its profit fell 19% to less than $2 billion. Still a better bottom line than expected. Stock futures are parked near flat with few overseas markets to help guide it. Many exchanges across the world closed today for May Day commemorations. S&P futures up 2 points. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I've been riding since I was 17. Flat out my whole life. Had some medical issues. Then I was prescribed one drug one place, another somewhere else. United Healthcare saw I could be in real trouble if I had taken both drugs together. They spotted the danger, and United Healthcare warned my pharmacist in time. We only get one shot, and I want to leave this life exhausted.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
There's no guarantee your new proposal will be approved by your biggest client. No guarantee your son will win his lacrosse tournament. We live in a world where guarantees are few and far between. But when you invest in municipal bonds insured by Assured Guarantee, every dime of principal and interest is guaranteed. Savvy investors rely on Assured Guarantee's financial strength and municipal credit experience. For insured municipal bonds, talk to your financial advisor or visit thinkassuredguarantee.com.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
Merriman, one of our vendors just called.
That's nice, Mr. Fernwell.
We owe him for a job that closed 8 months ago.
Yeah, Susan, the office manager, owes me for lunch last week.
The accounting team is swamped, Merriman. Call Bob from Account Temps. Bob knows our accounting system inside out and can step right in so we can get caught up without all this overtime.
Maybe Bob can help me collect from Susan.
Be flexible, work smarter with Account Temps, the staffing firm recommended by 9 out of 10 hiring managers. A Robert Half Company. Learn more at AccountTemps.com.
It's the same each time with progress. First they ignore you.
Then they say you're mad.
Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Or welcome back. Welcome. Thanks for hanging out. Those in the fringes, jump in. The water's fine. Those of you who are afraid of me, good. That's all I have to say to that. Anyway, great to be with you on this Tuesday morning, just 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this May 1st, May Day 2012. If you didn't get that whole list of stuff that's going on, what were you doing? How many times do we have to go over this stuff? I'm just kidding. A lot of good stuff going on today. Folks, I'm just going to tell you, go downtown. You'll find a May Day event somewhere. Just head downtown. It'll happen. That simple. It is really, it truly is that simple. We got a lot to get to in this hour. At the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to a professor from the University of Michigan, one Ian Robinson, who's going to tell us why the legislature is overreaching on what I consider to be a profound raping of our First Amendment rights, and especially if you're an educator, over revenge, of all things. Revenge over what? Well, that actually doesn't even matter. What matters is that they are going to, are threatening to take away money from the University of Michigan because of something they don't agree with. Should that be allowed? That's the question. We'll get to that up at the bottom of the hour. But, of course, as we do every week at this time, it is time for our intro. Let's go.
First Shift honors our political and legislative director.
Let me just point something out here. The Tea Party has such a radical, radical right-wing agenda that they're so desperate to pass this horrible law that would not only break unions, but really destroy the middle class in this state.
Here is Metro Detroit AFL-CIO president.
That they would go to this extreme to extort a fellow Republican, Chris Mialakis.
And we do welcome back, although not in studio today, Chris Mialakis to the show. And Chris, I got to tell you, as we kind of going to go back in the way back machine, only way back to Saturday, but I probably saw you more Saturday than I ever see you, but I never saw you for more than 10 seconds at a time.
Yeah, it seemed to be always in passing, but, you know, Saturday was a very, very busy day, Tony. I think we just missed each other at the American Federation of Teachers convention. You know, they had a lot of excitement, a lot of energy down there, and our good friend David Hecker got reelected, and we should all congratulate him on his success there. And then there was the Ask Me town hall meeting over in Council 25. Finally, we had the Workers' Memorial Day event, which was very moving. I was honored to MC that event, and we actually had the family of Kent Morton, who was the man who tragically fell off the Ambassador Bridge this year. His family was there to join us, and it was a very emotional event. We had a little ceremony at the UAW Ford Building. And then we marched down to the riverfront in front of the Underground Railroad statue, and we threw some flowers and a wreath and carnations into the river. And it was a very, very emotional event. And finally, there was the Jeff Jack, and we ran into each other at the Jeff Jack mixer beforehand, and finally at the event itself. So,
right, and then of course you were very busy. Now, on a lighter note, we're going to come back to the more serious stuff in a moment. But on a lighter note, you DJ'd, and did you ever come up with a final name? Well, let's hear it. Did you have to write? Because I know you had to write it down. Oh no, people need to know. We started this conversation a week ago. So, yeah, you know, you and your DJ partner had to come up with a name, so let's hear it.
Well, my partner, of course, is Bob Allison from SEIU, and we had a lot of fun playing some tunes. And together, this is a working title, by the way, but I'm thinking we call ourselves the Amalgamated Union of Disc Jockeys, Beat Junkies, and Funk-Related Personnel. Local 313.
I just love the funk-related personnel. That, to me, is like the topper. That's just the topper. Now, I will say that when you first shared that with me, we were at the Young Democrats mixer at the Signature Grill in the Riverfront Apartments, and Shannon McEvely was standing there with us when you reiterated that title. All I'm going to say is she rolled her eyes more than once because it's so long she had time to do that. All I'm going to say. But anyway, all seriousness aside, because sometimes you got to put seriousness aside, Saturday, and we'll kind of work backwards. The Jefferson Jackson Day dinner was fabulous. 1,500 passionate Democrats all in one place. Now, I don't know how many people showed up for the after party. I have no idea. But it was busy. A lot.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I would say, at least 500 people at Jeff Jack After Dark. I mean, a lot of people just came right next door, and it was a lot of fun. But it was also, you know, people were energized. Robert Gibbs gave a great speech. People were fired up. People were talking about it all night long and still talking about it today. And, you know, it's always great to hear from your senators and your members of Congress and it was a very enthusiastic event. It's a good fundraiser for the party, and it's always great to see your friends from all over the state and other Democratic leaders from all over Michigan come down at Cobo and have a good time.
Any truth to the rumor that Carl Levin was breakdancing as it got close to midnight?
No, there was a rumor. Senator Stabenow requested the hustle. However, and I played it for her, but she was too tied up and it couldn't make it to the dance floor.
And she was one
so
popular. She was one popular person Saturday night. In fact, you know, I had said, and which is true. I know that you were busy setting up when she didn't speak very long, but when she was introducing Robert Gibbs. She really gave a nice introduction, and she ramped up and was just really well done. But I'm thinking to myself, all the people that were sitting at that head table, which is probably the biggest head table in the history of head tables. I can't even imagine how many. There had to have been 30, 40 people up there. I'm serious. It was just amazing.
The NAACP Freedom Dinner in Detroit has them beat, but That's okay. A long story for
but
day.
But anyway, I was just thinking, you know, these poor people, once this part of the evening is over, that when people have access to them, they're not going to get away. And certainly the line to talk to Debbie Stabenow was the longest line I have ever seen for people that want to talk to a politician. And I know why, Chris. It's because she's so approachable.
Right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, you know, Debbie has friends all over the state in every county, every corner of Michigan. And when they all come down to Cobble Hall for an event like that, they all want to say hello.
Yeah, there's no question.
And
all right, one of the other things I want to talk about, and we got plenty of time, but one of the other things I want to talk about is the town hall at AFSCME Local 25. And I don't know if you went, but I'm curious if you did or if you know what the turnout was for that, because I knew, and we talked about it last week, how important that was from an education standpoint.
Yeah, there was probably about 100 people there at the town hall meeting. It was very well attended. And I'll tell you, Tony, I mean, you were fortunate enough to have Ed McNeil on your program to talk about all the cuts that AFSCME has proposed. And I can't stress this enough. You know, the union took it upon themselves to look for ways for the city to save money because the city wasn't doing it. The city has the mentality, and when I say the city, I really mean, you know, Andy Dillon and Governor Snyder and the Republicans under the consent agreement. They want Detroit to fail. And they don't want any creative solutions, to save money. They want to create this this manufactured emergency. Of course, in Detroit, it's not as manufactured, but they want to create this crisis as an excuse to keep the city under receivership, not just for the short term, but for years and years to come. Just like what they've done with Detroit Public Schools. You know, public schools has been under state control for 15 years, 12 years, something like that. And that's really, and there's no sign of them going, leaving from state control anytime soon. That's what the state is trying to do here. So you had Ed McNeil from AFSCME, and who's also head of this City Unions Coalition, reading through just hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, bordering on billions of dollars of savings that AFSCME has been able to come up with just by going through the City of Detroit's books. And, you know, the city, their requests and their findings are falling on deaf ears in City Hall. And I don't understand it, Tony. I mean, first of all, I give the public sector unions a lot of credit. They don't have to do this. I mean, they can kind of assume of what the outcome is going to be, but they're still taking the time to help the city save money. And it just goes to show you how much these workers and these unions care about the future of the city of Detroit. Not only are they taking pay cuts, you know, they've taken concessions, you know, over the years, lots of concessions, and to the point where workers starting off are eligible for public assistance and food stamps because the wages and benefits at the city are so low now. But on top of that, they go beyond that and look through the city's books with their CPAs and their accountants and their consultants, and they've found just ridiculous amounts of ways for the city to save money that the Snyder administration and the Republican takeover committee just doesn't even care about.
Yeah, and we're going to come back, Chris, and talk about this because there are two important points, and we'll make them when we come back, that I want to make sure we get to. Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, is our guest every single Tuesday at this time. And we are grateful, and he is gracious enough to be with us, and we do appreciate that. A very quick break here. We come back. We're going to re-engage in this discussion. As many of you know that were listening earlier on in the show, this was the centerpiece of a good part of the earlier program. So we'll come back and talk about it. This is First Shift. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trio.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
At 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your drive, we got an accident reported on M14 eastbound at Ford Road. Got a disabled vehicle on 75 northbound at Southfield Road. That's blocking your right lane. Got another disabled vehicle that's blocking the top of the ramp. That's on 94 eastbound at the Kensington Road exit. And they also got those traffic lights not working on Michigan Avenue at 14th Street. So you want to use caution in that area. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 71 degrees. Tonight, 53 degrees with late night showers. Tomorrow, 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. And it's currently 53 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
The 2012 Michigan Summit will celebrate and champion progressive change that is driving Michigan and will challenge all of us to make sure that all of Michigan moves forward together. Please go to themichigansummit.org right now and register to make sure you have saved yourself a seat for Saturday, May 12, 2012 at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing, Michigan. As keynote speakers George Coel and Barbara Arnwine promise to deliver messages that transcend petty politics and empower all of us to find a new path to prosperity. Together, as we reach across every sector of society to uplift and engage all of our friends and colleagues, themichigansummit.org should be your first stop in planning for a future that is all-inclusive. Please join Progress Michigan in energizing, engaging, and winning. Register at themichigansummit.org right now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
All right, welcome back. 22 minutes after the hour, Chris Mihalakis with us. Not in studio today, but he will be back in studio next week, I would think. That's next week's not your board meeting, is it?
I don't think it is.
No,
okay. I think we're good. Oh, yes, no, it is our board meeting, and I will be in Chicago.
Oh, okay. Well, then, are we going to even have you next week?
We'll talk.
All right. We'll negotiate these things. We do have a call that I want to get to in just a moment. But before we do that, you know, I want to, earlier on in the program today, Chris, we were talking about, and I talked quite passionately about Ed McNeil and the work that AFSCME Local 25 did. The point of my even bringing that up this morning was the idea that the solution, the fix was there. You have talked eloquently about the work that they did. Listen, this didn't come at no cost. All right? There's a cost associated with the kind of research and work, a process that AFSCME put into doing to doing some problem solving here. This was not something that a bunch of people volunteered to do. They did some serious work on this. The point of my bringing this up is that the solution is there, yet you make the eloquent point that it's ignored. I've got to ask the question, why do you think that is?
Well, it's very simple, Tony. The Republicans in the state, I mean, there is a concerted effort all over the state of Michigan by the Republican Party, all over the country, to suppress democracy and suppress voting rights every single opportunity they have. You know, they want to take over every city that has a majority-minority population. The state is in there taking over the finances, taking over the city clerk's office, which is something that we have to be very conscious of when it comes to elections this November. The city wants to take away democracy at the local level. They want to tell universities what they can and can't teach, which you're going to talk to a little bit later. But I've heard stories about professors saying, well, now the state legislature wants to approve my syllabus. They want to politicize all sorts of nonpartisan and bipartisan boards like they did with the ruling on the EM4 law and like they've done with all these other nonprofit organizations and things like that. They want to ignore the Constitution when it isn't convenient for them, like we've seen them do with the immediate effect rules. I mean, the Republican Party is not a movement of conservatism anymore. Reagan was the conservative. These guys are reactionaries. They're pushing for such a huge concentration of power into one small party. They're not going to stop until they have absolute power in this country. And it's really scary to me to see what would happen if the labor movement wasn't around to stop the Republicans from doing all the things that they've done. Can you imagine if there was no labor movement, what would have happened with Public Act 4? The emergency manager law would have gone unchecked and probably would have been expanded by now.
There's no question. We'll come back to this. Let's get to the phone. Our caller's been waiting a while. 888-552-3595 if you'd like to join us. Mark and Warren does join us now. Mark, thanks for calling in this morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. Good morning, Chris. Thanks for taking my call, Tony. I want to add to the point on how we as unions have brought a lot of cost-saving measures to the table that are completely overlooked. Being an executive board member for the Detroit Federation of Teachers, I was somewhat involved in the negotiations we had 3 years ago with Robert Bob and so forth. And we were fortunate enough to have our vice president at the time has a business background, an accounting background. He came from accounting, actually, in the teaching. And we have a financial analyst who is superb. In fact, he knows the books of DPS better than they do. He's brought a lot of information to light to them. Rather than taking these gentlemen's ideas, which would have been extensive cost-saving measures, which would have allowed us to lower class sizes some of these good things that really help kids, they fought us. In fact, they were pushing for and got higher class sizes. They pushed for and got K-8 schools. And if anybody that has ever been in a middle school in Detroit Public Schools knows, it's not a good idea to have K-8 schools. It's just so unfortunate that the agenda that they're pushing is not an agenda for kids. It's an agenda against unions who happen to be teachers in this particular sector. And I don't know what's going on, but I'm terrified for the education system, because rather than putting kids first, which is what we do opposed to popular opinion, teachers do put kids first, they just simply want to break us as a political force.
Yeah, no question. Mark, thank you for the call. Chris, I know you want to comment on that.
Yeah, he's absolutely right, Tony. I mean, the Republican Party is systematically going after every single organized, unionized institution in this country, whether it's the post office or teachers or private sector unions. And they're abandoning all logic and abandoning all reason. They're not thinking of children first. They're not thinking of what's best for the community. They want to suppress unions, and their sole goal is to suppress unions. And just like I spoke about before, the reason for it is because once they get rid of organized labor, then they can do whatever they want with, they can have complete unchecked power. And when they pass ridiculous laws, when they take over municipalities, no one's going to be around to speak out against it. And I mean, Tony, this is like, it scares me because in the modern day political conversation, there's so much hyperbole, so many people throwing accusations of fascism and whatever and Nazis and communists and what have you, that when you have a movement, a political movement that is legitimately trying to concentrate power and has this unchecked power grab where they control the courts and the legislature and the governor's office and no one can stop them. I mean, this is like, you know, it's unfortunate that there's so much political hyperbole because some cases there actually is a reason to be concerned and a reason to use these hyperbolic phrases that we overdo so much.
Yeah,
so,
and that is that is the sad truth. And, you know, I want people to understand, and for no other reason, just hear what I'm saying. Chris, these are not things that you and I or you and other or me and other people just talk about on the radio. These are issues that we are trying to solve far outside the realm of what we're doing here. These are not conversations that only happen in a 10 or 15 minute period once a week. And we understand. We understand. You as a labor leader, me as a voice, we understand that we need to tackle this. I want to make sure that I correct something very quickly. You correctly identified that the work that Ed McNeil done was with a coalition of unions. I failed to say right. That. I identified it as just being AFSCME Local 25, and, of course, it's a coalition of 33 unions. We're just out of time, right. Chris. I will, of course, talk to you between now and next week. No question that's true. But thank you for your time this morning, and we'll look forward to chatting with you soon.
Sounds good, brother. Thank you.
You bet. Chris Mialakis, president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO. A quick break. And then First Shift continues with an astounding story out of the legislature that will blow your mind.
AM 1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Got a lot of activity going on your commute. Let's go over to Greenfield Road northbound at 696, where traffic is getting by in the left lane only due to an earlier vehicle fire. Your left lane is blocked on 94 eastbound at 96 exit. That's causing slow traffic from Livernois. And you got both shoulders blocked by an accident. That's on M14 eastbound just after 94. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's and try a new Daily Double. It's two beef patties with cheese, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and onions. You could try it for just $1.89. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 71 degrees. Tonight, 53 degrees with late night showers. Tomorrow, 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. And it's currently 53 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Poor Mitt Romney. He might have the picture-perfect Hollywood looks of a president, but he keeps stumbling, bumbling, and fumbling along the campaign trail like he's in a Three Stooges slapstick comedy. He recently traveled to Elyria, Ohio, for example, for a carefully staged photo op meant to cast him as an economic heavyweight, while simultaneously portraying President Obama as a pratfalling economic lightweight. To give Romney's show a powerful punch, it was set in a closed drywall plant owned by the National Gypsum Company. This starkly vacant scene, plus Romney's dark vision, delivered the desired message. Obama's policies equal abandoned factories and lost jobs. A buffo performance! Except for one detail omitted in the candidate's script. National Gypsum's plant was shuttered in 2008 when Republican President George W. Bush's disastrous financial deregulation policies caused such a complete collapse in the housing market that the home building industry still can't recover. But that's Obama's fault, groused Romney right on cue. Quote, if the president's economic plans worked, this factory would be open by now. Even though he owns three homes and is presently tripling the size of his California beach house, Mitt apparently doesn't know that drywall is a product used chiefly in home building, With home construction in the dumps, so is demand for drywall. That, not Obama's policies, is why National Gypsum's plant remains closed. And guess who has truculently blocked even modest proposals by Obama to stop foreclosures and put more capital into home building? Republican congressional leaders and Wall Street lobbyists, cheered on by Mitt. This is Jim Hightower saying, now guess who is proposing to return America to the failed laissez-faire dereg policies of Bushonomics? Yes, the star of the farce in Elyria.
What do the corporate powers from Wall Street to Walmart have in common? They hate the Hightower Lowdown. You can see why at www.hightowerlowdown.org.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Executive Director of Progress Michigan, David Holtz.
When I started 3 years ago as Executive Director, we were just really a couple years old at that time. We had just really started up in 2007. And we had, even at that point, over 50,000 supporters who signed up with us. And this year, we just eclipsed over 80,000. And these are folks that only really come in as our signed-on supporters by doing something, taking action, engaging with our elected officials, showing up at events, signing petitions. It's not a passive thing to be a supporter of Progress Michigan. So I think out of all the things as I look back, it's one of the things that I'm really feel great about.
On 1310 WDTW.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind. Now, here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Tony Trupiano. 8:35, by the way. And this next story is, and I'm talking on a scale of really 1 to 10 on the outrageous factor. This is like a 15. And I'm going to lay it out quickly, and then we're going to have a conversation. But here's the deal. A few years ago, there's an organization that was fighting for rights of restaurant workers, local restaurant. Doesn't even matter. This has nothing to do with it's not a labor issue. All right? And as a result of that, okay, this group had some connection to, some students that were doing an internship. And so they get involved with this social project, which was a worthy social project. Well, the state budgeting process comes along. Just follow me here for a minute. The state budgeting process comes along, and the Republicans at the state level say, wait a minute here, University of Michigan. We're going to hold back some of your state funding because we don't agree with what you let your students do. You think I'm joking? I'm not. The state Republicans are saying that they are not going to provide some funding to the University of Michigan because they don't agree with causes that aren't friendly to their point of view. Is that right? Is that legislating by revenge? What is it? Well, and it's a lot of things beyond being offensive. It's a lot of things. And again, on the outrageous scale of 1 to 10, this is a 15. At least that's, of course, my very liberal opinion. Joining me now is Professor Ian Robinson. Professor Robinson is a lecturer at the University of Michigan, Department of Sociology, and then the Residential College's Interdisciplinary Social Theory and Practice Program. I will tell you for full discourse that Professor Robinson is a pro-labor guy. So I want to say that up front. I want to make sure that that's clear. But this isn't even about labor issues. This is about education. I think it's very much about the First Amendment, and I think it's a conversation we need to have. So, Professor Ian Robinson, I want to welcome you to First Shift this morning.
Thank you very much.
All right. So, let me just throw it out there. Am I overreacting, or is this as outrageous as I'm leading this audience to believe?
I think it's very, very important. We haven't seen anything like this since, I don't know. I mean, the American Association of University Professors way back in the day formed in order to, articulate and defend the idea of academic freedom, because back in those times, if professors, faculty tried to teach courses that seriously addressed the interests of what we would nowadays call the 99%, they were quite likely to be fired from their university positions because the power of the business community was such that they often sat on the university boards, or they had such power in the legislatures that if it was a public university, they could arrange to, through the regents or whatever the governing body of the public university was, to have those folks fired. So we fought for and over the years built up a pretty strong principle of academic freedom. It got violated in the Cold War days, the McCarthy era, in the 50s. But since then, we haven't seen that kind of effort by legislatures and individual politicians on the right to reach in and actually, you know, nobody's talking about getting fired yet, but they're talking about changing, violating the principle of academic freedom by reaching into people's syllabus and trying to tell them what they can and can't teach on the penalty of major loss of funding.
Yeah, just imagine. Well, let me come back to that. I want to read from the Detroit News yesterday. I just want to read this paragraph and have you comment on it. It reads exactly, verbatim, tucked into the House education budget at the request of the Michigan Restaurant Association is a provision prohibiting universities from collaborating with a, quote, a non-profit work center whose documented activities include coercion through protest, demonstration, or organization against a Michigan business, unquote. Let's break that down any way you care to, Professor Robinson.
Well, I mean, I know something about this case, and I know that the protests against Andy Amos in Dearborn were about violations of labor law, you know, the right of employees to be paid overtime, not to be dismissed for attempting to organize to defend their legal rights. So, what happened, as I understand it, was that the Michigan Restaurant Association, which I guess Andy Amos belongs to, approached Republican legislators in the House Higher Education Subcommittee, responsible for appropriations for funding of university, and asked them to insert this provision that you just read in there, because they don't like the idea that a workers' center might hold restaurants accountable to actually follow the law. We don't have enough inspectors, enough funding to actually enforce the law very effectively unless workers are organized to monitor what's going on and insist that the law be followed. So this is the kind of work that ROC does in this city and in a number of other cities around the country. And this is what the MRA, Michigan Restaurant Association, apparently finds so offensive that they go to their friends in the legislature and get them to put a provision like this in the law.
Well, you know, I find it, again, I'm offended at this this case in a lot of different ways. But fundamentally, and it says to me, you know, Professor Robinson, you have gone through an extensive process of educating yourself to do what it is you do. You sacrifice, you work hard, you've educated, you've done whatever it is that's been asked of you to get to where you're at. Now, one of your responsibilities, which you accept gladly, is this idea that you empower those under your purview, they happen to be students, to reach for things that are unreachable at some level. I mean, you ask them to use their imagination. You ask them to use their passion and their intelligence. You ask them to do all these things because it is what you believe is the right thing to do. We trust you to educate our children to do this. So I ask, to me, what is an obvious question, is this proposed legislation, this punishment by virtue of budget, does this send the message to you that we no longer honor the sacrifice you made to get where you're at by telling you what you can and cannot allow your students to do?
Well, I do think it's part of this larger Republican agenda of controlling what teachers do, you know, professional teachers, K-12 or higher education. We're better protected in higher ed than the K-12 teachers are, but in both areas, they want to prevent us from using our professional judgment about what will work best in terms of educating our students. Anytime they think that what we're doing, when we exercise that judgment, comes into conflict with the economic interests that they're dedicated to promoting above the public good.
Well, and again, I find this astounding, frustrating, disgusting, and then the list could go on and on and on, because at the end of the day, with all of the problems we have in the state of Michigan of, you know, really trying to shore up jobs and creating the kind of environment that we are told will create the kind of jobs that are good, you know, the good earning kind of jobs, why we're even having this discussion escapes me. I can't fathom for the life of me why this has become a priority, except when I go back to Professor Robinson, a three-word phrase I use way too often on this show, which is follow the money. The Michigan Restaurant Association, a lobbying organization, obviously has a little more reach than I do.
Right. Chad Livengood, the person who wrote the Detroit News article about this yesterday, said he was going to look at the donations that the Michigan Restaurant Association makes to various Republican legislators. It didn't show up in his article yesterday, but I think that'd be some research well worth doing.
Yeah, there's no question that is true. Well, you know, one of the things that we certainly need to be careful of, folks, and this isn't, and especially with this issue, it's not just about making sure that we elect the right people. People need to now reach out to their lawmakers and say, this is wrong. This is not the way we should be doing things here in the state of Michigan. We don't penalize by virtue of pulling funding, which, by the way, another conversation that we could have, a very side conversation, Professor Ian Robinson, is how can we continue to afford college education if they're going to continue to take money away from it by doing things like this? This is ridiculous.
Yes, very true. You know, the cuts have been pretty substantial in the last decade. I believe that last year's budget took away $225, something on that order, million dollars. And this thing that we're fighting about now is a restoration of just $36 million out of that $225, even though times are improving and the budget is in much healthier shape than they thought it was when they after they made all the cuts to the business tax last time. They created a pretty big budget hole. Turns out that our economy's been growing fast enough that budget hole is not nearly as big as they had originally thought, and yet, you know, only a very small portion of the money that goes to these very important institutions, our higher education institutions, has been restored, and what little has been restored is tied to these crazy conditions. And this isn't the only one. This is an important one for us because it hampers our capacity to give the students the best education we can give them. But there are others as well. You know, that stem cell research provisions, also one about requiring medical coverage for students. There are a number of things in there that just don't belong in an education funding bill.
Well, we need to keep our eyes wide open. Professor Robinson, I want to thank you, A, for your time this morning, B, for your commitment to educating the next generation of leaders, and we will certainly keep you in our phone bank. I have a feeling that we may need to lean on you moving forward. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much.
You bet. Professor Ian Robinson with the University of Michigan. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. Of course, we've got a little time for open lines on their side. I've got some issues I need to get to. Some announcements as well. 888-552-3595. We'll take the break. We'll wrap it up on the other side.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Well, welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, It's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Brian Miller, co-author of the book Self-Made Myth and executive director of United for a Fair Economy.
Broadly speaking, the work of United for a Fair Economy, we work with, as you mentioned, we do work with labor, we do work with community groups, we do work with low-income groups that are organizing for greater equality and a more broadly shared prosperity, but we also work with these business leaders, and that's really about that cross-class organizing that we strive to do, it because there's a role for everyone in this work. Garrett Gruner, founder of Ask.com, the internet search engine, he has this wonderful op-ed in LA Times where he talked about no amount of tax breaks to the wealthy Americans are going to stimulate the economy if there's not a middle class capable of buying the products that are being made, and that there's a point when inequality gets so great that the economy, even if you don't care about values, the economy simply cannot sustain itself.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now time to punch back in.
I love y'all, and I even love the commercial breaks because we all need a break. But I got to tell you, there are days where we can't get through them quickly enough, or I just like to do like all the commercials at the very end of the show, but I can't do that either. So I love y'all, love the sponsors. Don't get me wrong; it's just issues, passion, love that as well. 888-552-3595. Ron joins us now. Ron, appreciate you punching in with us this morning. What's on your mind?
Well, I just called to support what Ian Robinson said. I participated in that campaign for the Restaurant Opportunity Center, and some of these restaurants think that they can hire somebody for a week or two or a month and then turn around and say, I've never seen you before, and not pay them at all. And that's not even low pay. That's slavery.
That would be slavery.
I have known cases of that, and I'm glad that my union, the UAW, was supporting the Restaurant Opportunities campaign. Region 1A and Rory Gamble did a good job of support. So I want to congratulate you on having Ian on the show. Anytime you're at a rally and you want to meet some dynamic young people, head over to where Ian Robinson is and meet who's with him.
I bet you that's true. You know, just reading, Ron, reading his bio was pretty empowering. I got excited just reading Ian's bio, so that was really cool. I will have to tell you, you know, and Ron, thank you for your call. For those of you that don't know or are not aware, I've owned three restaurants. I understand these issues. I have always paid a reasonable wage, and I have always made sure my employees got paid first. Now, I don't care if that's the restaurant business or whatever business you might be in. I have never stiffed anybody a dime of what they've earned, Oh, folks, this isn't that hard. 888-552-3595. Roger in Garden City joins us now. Good morning, Roger. Thanks for giving us a call today.
Good morning, Tony. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and for your wisdom and your honesty and truth about what's going on. And if it wasn't for the unions and Occupy Detroit and Wall Street, we would have no recourse against these Republicans. They would take us back to Nazi Germany. The other thing is I agree with everything the professor just said. And I was going to ask you something maybe you know about. There's supposed to be another spy bill going on with AT&T in Congress. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, and Jeff had sent me some stuff on that last week. And if I'm trying to recall, it wasn't a very long article. But, Roger, I think what I read was the White House wasn't necessarily supporting it, but may allow it to move forward, which, of course, made me uncomfortable. Now, listen, I've said this before. I'll say it again. As much as I love President Obama, I do not love everything this man's done. This would be another one of those pieces of legislation that I would be totally against, absolutely positively against. Anything that takes away freedom is never a good thing. And I think one of the dangers, Roger, that happens when you have power, I don't care if you're a Republican or a Democrat, is power gets a little bit addicting. So we need to keep our eye on it. But I appreciate your call this morning. And I am keeping, in fact, I did a, for those of you that are familiar with Google, you can actually program Google News to send you updates on topics. And so I put that into my Google News search, and have not, it kicks nothing back to me. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know if it's that means the news, any of the news organizations are following it. But it's not just this information isn't just news organizations. It's anything on the internet with regard to any particular topic. So that's where that comes from. And I'm keeping my eyes wide open. But Roger, you're obviously paying attention. And I do appreciate that a great deal. Folks, very quickly, let me wrap up my thoughts here on this issue. Although Ron is right, you know, the Restaurant Opportunity Center was involved with Andiamo. They successfully were able to get a settlement from them. So, and the details of that settlement, by the way, were not made public. And as a result of that, I can't really comment on it because I don't know. And, of course, we do have a casual relationship with the Restaurant Opportunity Center. In fact, I'll be having lunch there on Thursday just because I can. Not for any other reason, just because I can. But my point of saying all this is that this issue isn't about Rock, and it's not even about Andiamo, although those are legitimate issues. And I'm glad they settled, and I'm glad that that ended up being a positive thing for the employees of Andiamo. That's great. This, for me, was about First Amendment. This, to me, was about academic freedom. This, to me, is about, you know, being punitive by a legislation, which I have a real issue with. And I think no matter what political party you belong to, you should have issues with that as well. Roger's right. This is about freedom. It's about being able to express yourself. Think about what Professor Ian Robinson said. Imagine, folks, that you have to modify the way you teach or be careful what you say in the classroom. Censorship that is sanctioned by state government does sound fascist. You know what? It was interesting because Chris Mialakis earlier on in this hour talked about that hyperbole, talked about overusing this stuff, but also talked about the reality of how true some of it turns out to be. And isn't that a sad indictment on what's happening at the state level? And you have to wonder, is it happening at the federal level, or how invasive is it going to get? When does it start to affect us at the local level? Maybe it is already pervasive at the local level. We just don't pay attention to it. I'm not paranoid. I'm just paying attention. And I'm asking you to do the same thing. You see, these issues, as we start to accumulate them, become very, very, very important. All right, very quickly, I want to get to a few announcements, and unfortunately, I don't have time to get to them all just because the show went long today, and sometimes that happens. Jeff, let me do, before I do the announcements, save all our audio from today. I think we can get to it all tomorrow. I really do. On Thursday, this Thursday, May 3rd, the Sierra Club, they're next in their series at the Birmingham Unitarian Church from 6:30 to 9 o'clock. Owl Wilderness, the 25th anniversary of the Michigan Wilderness Heritage Act. Ann Wildwode is the director of the Michigan chapter. She will be speaking again. That's this Thursday, May 3rd, from 6:30 to 9. Always like to plug what they're doing. The Northville, Livonia, Plymouth Community, and West Oakland Democratic Clubs are having their Democratic Spring Gala on Saturday, May 19th, 2012 at 7 p.m. The keynote speaker will be my good friend, Hanson Clark. If you want more information, James Amar at wideopenwest.com. That's J-A-M-E-S-A-M-A-R at wideopenwest.com or 734 734- 1763, and that's going to have to do it for us. We're just out of time for today. Folks, I want to thank you for everything. Anthony and Jeff, thank you for what you do. I'll be in the office. My lunch just canceled, so I got a little bit of time, which I know exactly how I'm going to fill. I'm going to empower my brain. I got some reading to do, so I'm going to get to that. Folks, I love you all. Off the air, Tony at thetonyshow.org, or give me a call in the office, and you'll find that number at thetonyshow.org. By the way, I've updated my speaking schedule. If you need me, that's the best place to go to find out how to get me. And in the meantime, as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Got a lot of activity going on your commute. Let's go over to Greenfield Road northbound at 696, where traffic is getting by in the left lane only due to an earlier vehicle fire. Your left lane is blocked on 94 eastbound at 96 exit. That's causing slow traffic from Livernois. And you got both shoulders blocked by an accident. That's on M14 eastbound just after 94. That's your traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 71 degrees. Tonight, 53 degrees with late night showers. Tomorrow, 80 degrees with scattered thunderstorms throughout the day. And it's currently 53 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter, and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. Tweet, tweet, tweet.